United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so you find it difficult to express your feelings, send an email to us. Author of the Five Love Languages on Thursday, April 26th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at youngstownsymphony.com.
What I do, I'm the director of the Minority Business Assistance Center. We're actually located at 1325 Fifth Avenue now. And our primary goals are to help businesses that are ready to go to the next level to get funding support, bonding support, and government set-asides. There is currently a 15% set-aside mandate in Ohio that is for minority businesses. And when I speak of minority businesses, what I'm speaking about is Hispanic American, Asian American, Black American, and American Indian. And so there's a 15% mandate for set aside. The government makes purchases of approximately $22 million that's set aside for minorities. And so my job is to find those minority businesses and get them those opportunities, and the support resources are funding and bonding and certifications.
So that's okay. Now let me ask this. You said that minorities are considered what?
The minorities that we are primarily focused on are Hispanic American, Asian American, American Indian, and Black American. That would be me.
And women?
You can be a man or woman just as long as you're in the ethnicity.
Ethnicity.
We don't discriminate for non-minorities. We do have resources for them. However, for the set-aside specifically.
So the set-aside program is for?
Is for.
Latino.
Yes.
Asian, African-American, and Native American.
Correct.
Wow. When you, the mixer that's going to happen tomorrow night, who should come?
Who should come?
Should Sticks come? Because Sticks ain't even close to the list. No.
Okay, who should come is, well, the primary people we're having coming is the construction industry and the health and human services industry.
Okay.
And, yeah, so that's the primary focus, is because we're going to have someone from the state who's a state purchasing officer.
Okay.
Which is with the health and human services. Also, we're having a young man, David Price, out of Cleveland, who's a very successful minority entrepreneur, and he's coming to basically tell those in the construction industry how to get good jobs around here.
Okay.
Bid on good jobs, exactly.
And procurement, you have to understand, you need to be certified. You help with certification down there?
Yes, because the whole goal is through the certification process, which is an MBE certification, my MBE being 51% or more minority-owned and controlled. So if you have a board that is non-minority, you might run into a challenge there, because it's owned and controlled minority. So if you're 51% or more minority owned and controlled, and you have one of those specific ethnicities, then you can go for the certification, go through the certification process.
I do know that it is on the current administration's agenda to make sure that they have opportunity for minority partnerships when it comes to the minority business enterprise for the governor's office. I do know that's a priority of his. And for those of you who are non-minority, and y'all say, well, why would they do that? Let me give a little bit of history about why there is a program set aside for minorities. If you look at the industry that I'm in as far as broadcasting, licenses were given out to anyone that was a white male. Anybody that was not a white male, you were not allowed to get a stick from. You could not get a broadcasting license when they first passed them out. So those companies that have been in business for, like CBS, You know, when they passed out those, they didn't pay a whole lot of money for them, and they could have them because they were a white male. And so when integration came along, businesses had already been established, which means it didn't give anyone else an opportunity to come in and play in the game. So it was going to be a white male-dominated business. And so they came up with a set-aside program, and even though I'm not in big on quotas and big on that, it is necessary that you give people opportunity for competition. And for so long, minorities have been shut out completely of competitions. So that's why we have a program. And if you look in the state right now, I think we're only at about 2%. Am I right, about 2 or 3%?
Yeah, well, it depends on what categories, because there's several categories. But
have we moved up? Because if we make me proud of Governor Casey. Tell me he's moved up in the numbers.
Well, we are averaging about 5 to 7.
Oh, wait.
In certain categories.
No, just overall.
Overall, I don't know the specific.
Because you understand, under Governor Strickland, it was less than 2.
Yeah. Well, I know it's higher, but I'm not exactly sure of the specific numbers.
I won't throw you on the bus. We won't get into politics. But it was that Strickland was a Democrat governor, and Governor Casey Gibbs a Republican governor, and the number did move up. Just thought I'd say that. I'm sorry. What should I expect when I come tomorrow night?
What you should expect is there are going to be lending officials there.
Okay.
from the local Youngstown, and as well as the state. There's going to be lending and bonding officials there. There's going to be information. There's going to be certification assistance. There's going to be minority companies from the strongest to the weakest there, and they're going to be looking to network with each other, because one of the key things is to find out how to work together, how to pull your resources, how to collaborate, how to leverage your resources so that you can acquire different opportunities.
I'm looking at the agenda for tomorrow night, and you've got some people here. Who is the South Park Development Company?
South Park Development Company.
Dominic. I will kill his name.
Okay. Actually, he owns the building that we're going to be in.
Okay. And who is the state procurement, Willa Turner?
Yeah, yes.
Eli's Barbecue.
Eli's Barbecue. What they did was actually they collaborated to make a wonderful opportunity for the young lady that owns the Eli's Barbecue sauce. And so,
Thelma?
Yeah. So she's going to she was actually invited by Miss Benton.
Okay.
So some of the people Miss Benton invited, others we invited.
She going to bring some barbecue?
She's going to bring, I don't know, but
because you know.
I like barbecue.
Have you tasted Eli's?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. Not
yeah, well, here's the thing. Because, you know, she's going to be at the mixer. Here's the thing. With me, what I am also is, what I do is financial management.
Okay.
So the one thing you'll find is I don't often go out to eat. I do a lot of packed lunches. I do a lot of, you know, my whole process is lives.
Oh, man.
You know.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but here's the thing.
Oh.
Several thousand in the bank.
You and Sticks ought to get along really well. Don't laugh, Sticks. Don't. I got my lunch. See? I'm bringing my lunch.
Beautiful.
I got my apple.
And that's what I'm talking about.
No.
So now if you go to the vending machine and eat that.
Pardon me?
If you go to the vending machine and get that, just imagine how much it's going to cost you.
Well, I can't do that. Sticks is that's not I've been retrained.
That's not lunch.
Why is that not lunch?
That's what food eats. That's not food.
Mm-hmm.
That's what food eats. That's not food.
This is food, Sticks.
No, that's what food eats.
No, this is food.
Looks like what food eats to me.
What does food eat? Grass?
Green stuff.
We're supposed to eat green stuff. Green stuff lets you live longer, live healthy, and lose weight.
Does?
Yeah. You and Sticks ought to get along real well over on that side of the table. Because he's a one of those, you know, you can your meat now, Chauncey.
Do I can my meat?
Yeah, because you know.
No, I don't do that.
They go out and buy cows and then start canning meat and stuff. I just want to check, see if you're going that far.
No, I haven't gone that far because I'm usually busy, you know.
But I'll tell you what.
Helping get businesses together.
You take some of that canned meat and you put some of Charlie Staples' barbecue sauce in it and put it in your crock pot, it's like heaven on earth.
So you tried that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You went and got Charlie Staples' barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
You bought it at Ruley Brothers.
Yep.
And you put it in?
With my canned meat. I drained the juice off of it, put it in a crock pot, poured a bottle of that on it, and left it cooked while we went to church. When we come home from church on Sunday, we had the best barbecue beef sandwiches you ever had in your life.
Six is teaching me how to pack a lunch, save money, not spend money, buy used cars, you know, walk to work, you know.
No, I don't walk anywhere.
Stretch a dog.
No, you don't walk. I do not walk.
He does compressed natural gas.
Right.
You know, he's teaching me how to save money.
Right.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing?
Yes, it is.
Mm. If y'all say so.
Yeah, well, I mean, your money
don't
is your
credit
power.
Cards, don't, you know, have good credit, that kind of stuff. He teaches me. He's teaching
me. Well, that's a specific way to use your credit card. You're supposed to use a certain amount of it because it builds your credit, but at the same time, you can't max it out. So that's the trick.
The advice I was always given by my dad was never borrow money for anything that won't make you money.
That makes sense.
Yeah, which is, well, or... Same thing. Never spend money on things that are not making you money.
Right.
When you go down to when I call you on the phone, because you're there all the time. That's your job. You're
yeah.
the director. What do I call you for?
You call me to find it. Typically, my typical call is what is going on. Tell me about the Impact Program. I get a lot of calls on people wanting to start businesses. I get calls on people that are looking to get certified so that they can apply for the set aside contracts. I get calls for people that are looking for funding, financing, and bonding resources.
Okay. And so what number do I call?
You would call 330-747-7921. My extension is 1150. Also, you could call extension 1143 at the same number, 747-7921.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. That's here at the studio if you want to call in, if you have any questions, and if you want to talk to Chauncey. It's a good program, and they give you some great information. And for those of you who are minority businesses who want, you need to be certified by the state. I mean, every state agency has a mandate put upon them to do businesses with minorities. But if you're not there at the table, if you're not looking at procurement, if you're not certified, and if you're not knowledgeable of what's out there, you will never be able to participate. Would you?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. It's an opportunity. And why would you shut down any opportunity?
Don't want to grow. Now, do you help people with their business if they're not prepared?
Yes, actually, that's part of the financial piece that we do is to help them, because a lot of people want to have a business, but they don't understand what's required to run a business. Out of them, they think, you know, some people might have the impression that it's like a job where you go to 8 hours and you finish and it's over and you go home and, you know, but it doesn't work that way. Typically, you take it home, you take it through the weekends, sometimes you take it on vacation. It's one of those things that requires you to be able to put more into it than some people are ready or prepared to put into it.
Huh.
I mean, you know, you have a lot of people starting restaurants and doing different things. However, there's a price to everything you do. And so we try to let you know what that price is and, you know, prepare you to pay it.
People do not realize what it takes to be a business owner. I think there is a huge misconception of when you own it, you're the boss and you don't have to work. And I say that lightly because a lot of people truly do not comprehend just how hard it is and the struggle and the difficulty and the responsibility that you have once you become a business owner.
Yeah, I know one of the things is a lot of people, they have ideas, beautiful ideas. However, they are looking for somebody to fund it, somebody to put money into it. And, I mean, if you've totally kind of messed up your credit and, you know, your finances are all not up to par, then it's going to be a struggle at best trying to get financing, because in this economic environment, they are currently, with the sequester and everything, they're currently taking funds from functional programs. So why would they, I mean, you know, so getting funding for a program that's not really, you know, up and running and hasn't been tested and proven.
I was doing some reading not too long ago, and they were talking about how difficult the restaurant business is. Everybody thinks that you can just, you know, go in there, start a Sam's Club, fill up your shelves, go in there, open up a kitchen, and then you and business, and people are just going to come.
Yeah. It's a world of difference between working at a restaurant or eating at a restaurant and running a restaurant.
It really makes a difference, and people don't understand just how difficult, you know, just the late hours, the running. You know, my first business was a I was part of a retail business, antique store, and you have overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And your light bill, on your residential, you have a budget on your light bill. And the rates for residential versus commercial is totally different.
Exactly.
Your gas bill, totally different. Your water bill is totally different from commercial, from residential. And so you go into this business and you think that it's going to be similar to your residential rates. And it's not.
Yeah.
By a long shot. And you need to know that there is a difference between your home gas bill and your business gas bill.
And you also need to be aware that you're going to get paid last. That's the one thing that most people that haven't been in business for themselves and then go into business for themselves don't realize. Everybody gets paid before you do, including Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
And if there ain't nothing left, there just isn't anything left, and you're sorry.
And people don't understand that. You really have to be prepared mentally for the hours that you put in when you find out you're paying your employees more than you paid yourself. And just one employee, you know, you'll be surprised at that.
People think I'm kidding, but my wife literally was digging change. Her and her mom would dig change out of the coffee can to go buy groceries for the week, and every man in the company got paid. Full check, except Dad.
Absolutely. And you got to be, and that's where I think sometimes we lose it. Because, you know, being in business for yourself is a wonderful thing. But you have to have stamina to be in it for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stamina and responsibility.
Absolutely.
And don't go into a business that you just don't love.
Oh no! Don't do anything for money. You got to have a passion for it.
Right.
You got to have something that when the money doesn't come, the next day you still get up and go to work.
Yep.
Yeah, because just basically simply doing it is fun.
Yeah, you there's just so much to learn, and you know just dealing with you know how your mindset, because you wake up in the morning thinking about your business, you go to bed at night thinking about your business. All during the day, you're working your business. You're dreaming about things, how to make things happen, how to make ends meet, and how to become more creative to get it out there. Because I talked to Kathy Hughes, and Kathy Hughes is the largest minority-owned radio operator in the country and in the world. And she owns Radio 1 and TV 1. And Alfred Liggins is her son, and he now has taken over the reins. And she started by sleeping on the floor of a radio station in D.C., and
wow.
I asked Kathy, I said, Kathy, what do I have to do? And she said, you know, Tracy, where you lose and actually financial resources, you got to gain in human resources. So where, you know, other agencies have, you know, board ops, you are the board ops. And you are the talent, and you are the researcher, and you are the engineer, and you have to just understand that you just have to do it all. And so sometimes when you see a business owner, you almost need to applaud them for what they've put into their business that allows you to walk through that door, because you don't see the late nights.
Well, we've often said this, you know, you've got a person that becomes very successful in their business and suddenly everybody wants it, you know, and they want a piece of it. And yeah, I made $1 million this year, but for the last 20 years I've been making
$2,000.
$2.
Exactly.
And you have no idea what my family has sacrificed.
Right.
Yeah, because that's another issue.
Right.
If there's part of the family, if you have families, if you have husbands, if you have kids, everybody sacrifices, not just you.
Right. My kids are wearing clothes out of out of goodwill when my employees' kids are wearing Abercrombie and Fitch brand new.
Absolutely. You don't see that. You don't see the late night. You don't see the ledger. You don't see the phone calls that come in. And money coming in does not always mean making money.
Right.
Yeah.
Overhead is just high.
Exactly.
And I'm not scaring anyone out of business, but we need to have a reality of what business is. So that when you go into a store, when you say that you want to go into your own business, when you tell, I think everyone should be an entrepreneur. But you got to work the business that you have. You do.
It's a journey.
It's a wonderful journey.
It's a journey.
You jump in.
It's a journey because if you do it right, at the other end, the rewards are just absolutely amazing. I mean, guys retire out of the mill when they got a nice little check, and you know, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children.
I haven't seen that check. When does that come? How long does it take? How long does it take?
Every journey is different, Tracy.
You're not helping out. You're supposed to give me a date.
There is no date. The date is when it happens.
You don't know.
Here's the thing. When you're looking at the other end, when you're looking at getting somewhere from point A to point B, there's going to be so many distractions. There's going to be so many obstacles. There's going to be so many barriers that you have to keep presenting. You have to keep pressing and keep pressing. And usually it's when you get to that point where you are feeling your most stressed and most strained that you're right at your breakthrough.
Chicago, your mic is on. Local call, hold on. Hey, Chicago.
Hi. Well, I'm in the art industry, and what it is that today's time, you talk about Kathy Hughes, it's a different time of day now. Really now today you have to be connected. And when you're connected and the people that can make the decisions to make your business grow, to give you that opportunity, they will do it. With loans and everything like that today, the banks aren't giving anybody any loans. So really today now you have to be connected to the right people to let your business grow.
You know, I agree with you.
I don't know anything about the restaurant business or anything like that because you have to be up to code and, you know, have the building, if you're renting the building or have the proper licenses with that. But right now with anything else, you have to be connected also in the radio business. You have to be connected to a Clear Channel or somebody in the inside to get your business to get connected with them.
I don't believe that. I will say this because I do it every day. I know. No, listen. What I'm saying. You got to work your business. And if you want
to
get
to
now, let me finish.
It.
Now,
but
Chicago,
also,
let me
you
finish.
You have to be connected to the right people. And
but you only connect to the right people by putting yourself in the way of those people.
You
can't stand on the sideline. No, I'm not. That's an excuse. I was not connected to the people that I'm in. What I'm saying is you've got to put yourself in the way of the connection so that you can make those networks. So, like, on tomorrow night, hold on, tomorrow night, here in Youngstown, there is going to be a networking function. It's free and open to the public. The only way that you're going to meet people is if you get out to go meet them because they're not going to show up in your house.
Well, I don't know what's going on out there. I mean, if you're talking about for small businesses and networking and that
every business starts small.
Then
I haven't seen a business start big.
But Tracy, you've been on the radio for 7 years. I know you know some people also in the industry. What has to happen is the right people that make the decisions with those companies, if you like to network with them or connect with them, and merge your business, like with a Clear Channel that's also owned by iHeartRadio. You have to know the specific people, and
you have to
merge your company.
Chicago, sweetie, darling, honey, listen, you're right, but everyone can start where they are. The problem is
you're exactly right.
You've got to network your way through. We have a problem linking up with a Chauncey Hilson so he can introduce me to a South Park development who can help me get an office, who can help me up with a Renee who can help me do something else where I can get a contract with her so I can build my income so I can fly to the RAB or the NAB so I can go and network so I can be a part of the industry that I'm in. But you've got to sacrifice to get on the plane, and you've got to take the time out. And for sometimes we actually become very, very lazy in what we do. And you can't become lazy because all businesses start small. Local call, your mic is on.
Hey, good afternoon, Trish.
How you doing, darling?
I'm doing all right. I wanted to ask your guest a question. It might be stupid.
Uh-oh.
So am I. It might be stupid, but so am I. So. have you ever seen somebody? I'm not talking about network. I'm talking about strictly your organization and bank. Have you ever seen somebody start a business without any money?
Have I seen somebody start? It depends on what kind of business it is. Personally, I've seen service businesses start businesses. I've seen people that clean houses start businesses without money. I've seen people that cut grass. I mean, they had a lawnmower, and they started businesses, and they made money. So it depends on how much money you're talking about. But, you know, you can start business. You can start a business. A business is simply supplying a product or service for some cash to get and getting paid for it. So
right.
Can you start a business? I mean, you can think for people. That's starting a business. You can do several things for people, and, you know, without money, it's just, how is your product? Is your product or your service quality? Is it what the people are looking for? People are looking for something that is better than the next thing, you know. So it's basically targeting your market, find out who wants what or who wants what you have specifically, because it's not who you want, it's who wants you.
That's supply and demand.
I mean, and that's something that we need to teach our young people. You can start a business by going and buying a candy bar for 10 cents and going and selling it to your neighbor for 50 cents.
Well, I got a story about that.
What's that?
My daughter, Amy, when she was in grade school, she was buying chewing gum and reselling it for 10 cents a stick till she got caught.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I look at Martha Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Martha Stewart actually started her enterprise by trying to fulfill a gap that her husband, when he got laid off or something on that order, or they couldn't make their bills meet.
Mm-hmm.
And started selling pies door to door because she could bake a pie.
Right.
We got to, I mean, come on now.
I know several people that started out with a pickup truck. They get people to pay them to pick up the junk, and then they'd separate it and take the scrap to the scrapyard and throw the junk away.
There are people that
throw
I
the trash away.
That you look online, you see them on TV, they call pickers.
Yeah.
They go out to garage sales and they find good stuff, and then they take them to antique places and they sell them at the antique places to antique dealers for a little bit more, and then they sell them for a little bit more to consumers.
Right.
You know what I've seen in people who tried to open business stuff? You try to go top of the line. You know, you get the best office space. You sell it lawnmowers. Instead of selling used ones, you go get brand new ones. John Deere costs $2,000.
Yeah. One of the things I want to add is you can't put your ego before your business. Typically, people want to, you know, let your business drive your expansion, not your ego.
Right. Well, you know, we always want to start at the top.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the top is subjective. The top is based on the best place you can be when you start that business. If you need to start your business out of a home, then start the business out of a home. Don't get a building that you can't afford and you don't have
right.
clients and start a business. I mean, you know, there's, you know, that thing they call, you know, strategy.
And,
right.
And you actually, we have a misperception that you got to look a certain
right.
way to do business, and you don't. You just have to have a good product and be relied upon for their
right.
goods and services.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I told someone the other day, there's a place called Harold and Bell's in Los Angeles, and Harold and Bell's was a dive bar. I mean, it was a bar, you know. They sold fried chicken and fried fish out the back window. It was a dive, and it was around for years in the worst neighborhood of town in Los Angeles, being just bad. And the old men died, and the kids got the restaurant. And they turned it into a restaurant, a real one. They put a little money in because the dive bar made money. They just didn't put the money back into the bar. Okay. And now this restaurant is a 4-star restaurant that has valet parking in the hood with security, and you're going to pay at least $40 per person to eat there without any alcohol. You just got to take what you got in your hand. And sometimes we don't realize what we have in our hand, how to manipulate it to make it work for us.
There's a steak, I can't remember the name of it, but there's a steakhouse in Canton, Ohio like that, that they actually hire a security guy to watch the parking lot.
Yeah.
And it ain't cheap to eat there.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's dead smack in the middle of the hood.
What do you have in your hand? What, I mean, do you make the best peanut butter cookies in the world? How do you get this, and how do you find the ingredients and then take them to the flea market to sell them? That's a business. And if you use the money right, it can grow if you choose to work it.
Right.
Exactly. It's basically, creating the right strategy. There was a young lady that was, she had a basket company where she sold gift baskets. And because she sold these gift baskets, her husband said, well, I give you 6 months. So she came to a program called Jumpstart. Actually, we have that program here. She went to the Jumpstart program, and they came up with a strategy. The strategy was, because she was living in a metropolitan area, to take these gift baskets to corporate offices, sell them to corporate directors, corporate heads, and have them give them to their employees. Long story short, she is now a millionaire, and her husband works for her.
Wow.
And so when I applaud what Chauncey does down at MICAP, and he is the director of Minority Business Assistance. And there are no more excuses for success. You just got to want it bad enough and be willing to bite the bullet to get it. I believe that. And we need to teach our young people that they need to just bite the bullet to get it. If you can't get a job, make a job. I'm serious. You can make a job by going to your next-door neighbor saying, listen, can I pick up the weeds in your front yard?
Exactly. I mean, too much pampering is never a good thing. I mean, when you have your kids, you need to tell your kids.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. To train your kids instead of teaching them how to mismanage resources, show them by example that here's what we do. We're sacrificing so that we can have this. We sacrifice anything, any strong business, you're going to find out a business owner has made some significant sacrifices, and is you have to make the hard choices.
Yeah, you know, we made Millionaire Mind and Millionaire Next Door required reading in our house for our children.
And at least you got them reading. That's good. Reading is fundamental.
That's right.
And it's good. And as Chauncey was saying, we were talking about businesses and just packing a lunch. How much money do you save by packing a lunch?
How much money do you save by packing a thermos?
Huh?
What's it cost to stop at Starbucks on your way, or Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts on your way to work?
Bring your own coffee.
That's right.
Just how much? I mean, the money that you save and becoming a better fiscal manager of your own personal resources.
Yeah,
I'll
give you a prime example. There was a gentleman there that said, "I need $10,000" in one of our classes, and I looked at the lady next to him and I said, "Well, can you loan him $10,000?" She said, "Well, of course not. I don't have $10,000." She had a bottle of Voss water. I think that's like $250. So I said, okay, so how long have you been working? She was in her mid-30s. I said, how long have you been working? She said, since 15. I said, okay, so let's start at 20. So if you've been working for 15 years, and let's take that 15 years and by 10,000 and divide it into 15 years. Then divide each year into 12 months and divide each 12 months into a day. It came down to less than $1.30 a day.
I agree.
I do that to people all the time. I mean, I really do. People say
and the water was $2.50.
Yeah. People say you can't do this and you can't do that. And, you know, people don't realize on an average wage in this country for 40, and you work for 40 years, you have close to $2 million runs through your fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And people just can't, you know, they don't realize it. It's the day-to-day bad decisions that destroy you. It's not the big decisions that destroy you.
Tomorrow, there is going to be a mixer, and it's called Networking with Magnet Moguls and Entrepreneurs. And it's a Minority Business It is sponsored by the Minority Business Assistance Center, and it's going to be on tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Thursday?
Thursday, yeah.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
Whoa. Tomorrow's Thursday. Tomorrow, April 25th at 5:30 at Lindmar Strategy Studio, downtown Youngstown, on the corner of Commerce and Wick Avenue. Where's parking?
Parking, well, actually, after 5:30, parking where the old BW3s.
Right there across the street.
Yeah, right across the street. You know, anywhere you go, you're going to have to find some parking, so.
And it's free and open.
Yeah, it's free.
They're asking everyone to RSVP. What's the number for them to RSVP at?
They can RSVP at the 747-7921 extension 1150 or extension 1143.
And it's free and open to the public. All you have to do is show up, they want you to come. I'm going to give you the address. It's, again, a 16 Wick Avenue. Please RSVP so that they can make provision for you.
Exactly. Bring business cards.
Bring business cards?
Bring business cards. If you're a business, please bring business cards, because that's part of networking, is to let somebody know who you are and what you do. They also have something called a capability statement they'll be talking about now. It's kind of like a cross between a business card and a business plan. It's what people are using now to show their strong points in their business. And we also do trainings on how to do those as well.
Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at youngstownsymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA. offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at youngstownsymphony.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. The number is 347-945-5229. And I have Chauncey Hilson in studio with me. He is the director of the Minority Business Assistance Center, located in downtown Youngstown. And if you want to reach him, you can give him a call at 330-747-7921, extension 1150. Tomorrow they're going to be having a mixer, and they're inviting everyone to come out and join them in this. Even if you're not a minority, I'd say that you'd still be welcome to come and find out what's there. They don't discriminate. And it's an important function that we get economic development in the inner city. It's crucial to the sustainability of communities that we have economic stability. And so I applaud them. I thank them for putting this together. It's very, very difficult to get everybody on the same plate on the same day at the same time to make it work. And I want to thank Lindmar Strategies for lending their studio to them to have it there with Deb Benton. Deborah Benton, and you can see her on, I believe, on Saturdays on WYFX. Chauncey, any? I only got you about five more minutes. You said you only had you for an hour. I was going to hold you over, but I'm going to embarrass you, so you might as well just prepare.
Hey, well, I'm ready. Hit it.
I am very, very pleased to see, you know, when you have friends and you've grown up around them and you don't see them for a long period of time, it's always good when you see African-American males manifest the greatness that they are. And Chauncey was a very, very nice guy. He was a nice church boy. I'm serious. And
this is true.
Am I lying on you yet, am I?
No.
He was just a good guy. And it's good to see good guys grow up to be good men.
Well, you're saying every good, clean living will always get you ahead?
Yeah, good clean living and good praying parents. You got to have them both.
Yep.
You can't have one and not the other. And I am so pleased to see when he came in my studio. I haven't seen him in so long. And I haven't actually sat down and talked to him I've seen him in passing. We're trying to figure out where I saw him last. But to sit down and just have a conversation with him for any period of time, that has not happened. And I've heard that he was doing great things downtown, and I'm glad to see that he is, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And our doors are always open to you. What?
Nothing. I'm stressed better than I am.
Well, you know.
I mean, this is as good as it gets for me. You know that.
I'm going to wait until the next segment to talk about you. And we went to a fundraiser last week. Everybody looked like a suited up peacock. Sticks came in there with a blue jacket and a pair of blue jeans and a pair of cowboy boots. You know that's kind of real success.
That's me.
I know, and that was so rude of you.
To be me.
Yes. We were all dressed up in hose and heels and tuxes and ties, and you had on a pair of blue jeans and a pair of cowboy boots, and you looked comfortable in that cold place.
My wife looked good, didn't she?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
I love to get that woman dressed up, take her out.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Oh, I did.
See, there, that's what I'm saying. That's how it's supposed to be, but you could have put on a tux like the rest of us.
Oh, no. No, I've been informed, though. I will be in a black suit and a purple tie for the wedding.
Okay, black suit. So you will be in a suit for the wedding?
Oh, yes.
You're not wearing blue jeans?
No.
Just checking, because you know you might, and if you do, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, South Carolina, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're talking about minority business. There's going to be a – you want to come up? There's going to be a minority mixer here tomorrow, and we want to see you here.
It'd be kind of hard to do. I'm halfway to Georgia right now.
On your way to Georgia?
We can just stop in Savannah and get on an airplane. Yeah. You'd be in Pittsburgh in an hour and a half.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, Sticks don't have to get dressed up now. He's getting that Section 8 money.
Oh, that's old, man.
So when you're making that kind of money, you don't have to dress up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I can honestly say, Chicago, I don't have a single Section 8 apartment.
You don't?
Nope, not a one.
Why not?
For one thing, they're pretty hard to come by now, because you got to find a person. I mean, the stars just got to align just right anymore. It's not easy to find Section 8 tenants no more. I got a lot of tenants that are on some form of assistance, but no Section 8s.
Wow.
I've got
40. South Carolina, listen, I got to wait before you go too far. We've got to take my break in a few minutes. Chauncey, any closing remarks?
Well, you know, I'd just say that to start a business and to run a business, you need to be prepared. You need to put in to get out. And, I mean, we're here to help you with funding. We're here to help you with bonding, certifications. There is 15% set aside for any companies that want to that are ready and prepared to do business with the government. You can come down and see us and see what opportunities are available. We welcome you all, and that's pretty much it. You know, we have the resources, we have the strategies, and if you need us,
that's good to know.
You know,
tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow downtown,
16 Wick Avenue.
Networking with Magnet Moguls and Entrepreneurs, and it's going to be at 16 Wick Avenue on the corner of Wick and Commerce.
Correct.
Park across the street. It's free and open to the public. You can RSVP at 330-747-7921. Thank you, Chauncey, for coming in. Our door is always open to you. We appreciate you, and I love you, and I'm so glad to see you.
Thank you, Tracy. Right back at you.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. I'm at the top of the hour, so it's going to be a long break. We got to play the news, and we got to play some bills, and I skipped a half of a break in the middle, so, you know, I was running my mouth. So you're just going to have to just deal with it. And then when we come back, it'll be open mic. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. We will see you on the other side of my break.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. There is a sea of blue today in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hundreds of police officers at today's memorial service for Sean Collier. That is the color guard you're hearing there. The MIT police officer was killed in a confrontation with the suspects in the Boston Marathon bombings. In the meantime, we're learning more about the brothers who are accused of killing three and injuring more than 260 last week.
Tamerlan Tsarnaev turned on the state that enabled him, his wife, and his daughter to live. The family received welfare benefits until 2012 when they became ineligible based on income. Wife Catherine Russell has said she worked long hours as a home health aide while Tsarnaev cared for their daughter. State health officials say Tsarnaev and his younger brother also received welfare benefits as children when their parents lived in Massachusetts, where Boylston Street has reopened now for the first time since the bombing.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. There is another man connected with the poisonous letters that were sent to President Obama and other public officials.
What we know from Everett Dutsky is the FBI searched his home in Tupelo, Mississippi.
I've never seen anything this blown out of proportion.
But why?
Everybody has something suspicious in their house. But no, there's nothing that's related to these letters.
The karate teacher has been fighting a kind of social media feud with now former Ricin suspect Paul Kevin Curtis. Dutsky says his rival's lawyer just wanted to shift the blame.
Kind of like OJ wanted to find the real killer.
Dutsky hasn't officially been named a suspect. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
A Senate subcommittee is hearing testimony today about a proposed change to Medicare and Medicaid. It would require suppliers to bid for their services.
In St. Louis, Missouri, the payment amount for a standard power wheelchair drops
$2,034. That's a savings for Medicare of $1,627 and for the beneficiary of $407.
Lawrence Wilson with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Patients. The Dow is down 37 points, NASDAQ off 8. This is ABC News.
The IRS issued an identity theft alert to the millions of Americans who pay taxes, including many of our listeners. Here's Mayor Rudy Giuliani with the LifeLock Identity Theft Alert.
As a mayor and former federal prosecutor, fighting crime has always been my mission. Now I'm taking on identity theft. The problem has become such a global concern, you can no longer think it will never happen to you. I protect myself with LifeLock Ultimate, and you should too.
Consumers, beware. Identity thieves know that virtually everything they need to steal your identity and even your life savings is on your tax forms. Get LifeLock protection risk-free for 60 days. If you're not convinced, notify LifeLock within 60 days of enrollment, and you won't pay a cent. Visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code ENROLL60 or call 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. 1-800-305-2203. See LifeLock.com for details. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
Have you driven a Ford lately? Apparently a lot of people have, and the carmaker sales are in the fast lane. More from ABC's Dick Hafner in Detroit.
Record North American earnings drove Ford to a pre-tax profit of $2.1 billion in the first quarter. Net income was $1.6 billion. CEO Alan Mulally.
The wholesales and the revenue were up 10% year over year, and our net income was up nearly 15%.
Ford made $2.4 billion in North America in the quarter on the strength of sales of the F-150, the Ford Fusion, and the Escape SUV. That offset a loss of $462 million in Europe, where sales dropped 20%. Dick Hafner, ABC News, Detroit.
A potential treatment for traumatic brain injuries may be tested in retired professional football players who are the focus of concerns over years of blows to the head. It would involve a drug which is now in early human trial for treating depression. In animal studies, the drug appeared to stimulate the creation of brain cells. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Are any of these symptoms familiar?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
At the Law Office of J.M. Shade, we focus on estate planning for the elderly and people with special needs. We'll help you find a way to pay for long-term health care, write your will, and set up a trust to avoid probate. Estate planning is essential for everyone. Don't delay and leave your family to deal with the stress after you're gone. Show them you care. Call us today, 866-606-6187. That's 866-606-6187. 6187, jmselderlaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
Sweet Jack on News Talk 600. Log on to our website and take advantage of half-price gift certificates from our area restaurants, golf courses, spas, salons, and more. Every week, you'll find half-price deals from some of the area's best places to dine, play, and shop.
Welcome to Los Gallos Authentic Mexican Restaurant, now in Howland. Enjoy authentic Mexican foods prepared using only the freshest traditional ingredients, from tacos to burritos. The Zambrano family have been serving the Valley since 1996, and they're pleased to announce the opening of their brand new location in Howland, 8220 East Market Street in the Howland Plaza. Be sure to visit Los Gallos' other locations in Boardman on Route 224, North Lima, Austintown, Struthers, and Bedford. For more, visit them on the web at losgallosmexican.com.
Keep checking back for more half-off certificates from our area businesses.
Sweet Jack Local Deals from 600WSOM.com.
Are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low libido, and fat storage? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. Ambrin restores hormonal balance in women over 40, so the extra pounds fall away and the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-830-7680. 1-800-830-7680.
Introducing a new faster way for your business to communicate. AT&T Enhanced Push-to-Talk. Get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3 at att.com/enhancedptt3. A great new choice for business. You push to talk. AT&T pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Broadcasting from the Ford studios. In head-to-head competition with Toyota, Ford had better fuel economy in every segment. Stop in now at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and get a Fusion with 0% financing for 60 months.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle was safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
Local restaurants, shops, salons, and more with savings of 50 to 90% every time. Live more, spend less. Download the mobile app now.
Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Again, I want to thank Chauncey Hilson from the Minority Business Assistance Center for coming in and talking with us about the mixer that's going to take place on tomorrow evening at 5:30 there at the Linmar Strategy Studio at 16 Wick Avenue on the fourth floor. And hope that some of you will come out and find out what they have to say, find out what's going on. Do we have coffee now, Six?
No coffee yet.
What do you mean, no coffee? Is it?
I'm telling you, that bun machine boiled dry.
What are you doing?
We're the only people that use that bun machine, and if you don't use it every day, it'll boil itself dry. My wife's got one, and believe me, if you don't shut it off when you go on vacation, when you come home, it ain't got no water in it.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have coffee soon. I put a little more water in it.
How are we going to get through the day with no coffee?
Well, I don't know. I'm having withdrawals over here, too. I'm shaking and caffeine withdrawals. And...
Hey, it's open mic. And I want to talk a little bit about money since we were on that subject and business. We're going, as the American people, we don't understand that the fabric and the strength of America has been in its entrepreneurship, and its innovation. There was something about American innovation and American entrepreneurship. It gave people who came here, immigrants, people who were in servitude, people who were slaves, it gave people the opportunity to come here with nothing and to develop something so that they could have sustainability. And somehow in our education process, somehow in our evolution, we have lost the spirit of ingenuity. And we have allowed the government to suck out through regulations the ability to make things happen. And we're going to have to get that back.
Just see, the House just passed another law that's going to put another nail in the coffin of small business?
No.
They're going to charge. They're going to make every business that does online.
So that means
like my friend over in North Canton that has the little soap business that she makes soap and sells it all over the world. Now she's got to know what the sales tax is in every place that she sells to.
Not yet. It hasn't passed the House. It hasn't passed the Senate yet.
It will.
No, it won't.
I hope it doesn't.
President Obama said he was going to veto it if it came to
the I thought he said he was going to sign it.
I thought he said he was going to veto it.
We'll have to look that up.
I think he said he was going to veto it. Hey, local call, your mic is on South Carolina, Chicago. Your mics are on. Go ahead, local call.
Good statement, Tracy. I like when you do stuff like that when I can learn something.
You trying to say you can't learn something every day?
Not with the people I hear.
You know what? You
I'm
are so sick.
I'm teaching. I ain't learning nothing.
And Chauncey, great guy. You know, when you run into people that you haven't seen for 35, 37 years, you know that's some real serious stuff, you know?
Yeah. But you know, the reason why I called you back?
Why?
I started quarter car washes in Fort Benning in 1975. And I knew that would work here in Youngstown because you know how we are about our cars. We wash cars every day. And I came home and I needed $70,000 to do it. And I was 19. What am I going to give me $75,000? Yeah, well, you know, the rest is history. You see quarter car washes everywhere.
You know, we have to understand that business is not in business to help you make business. Business is in business to keep you out of business because they don't want competition.
Yeah. Well, I was a brother to you.
Again, but that's what I'm saying. We put the label of a brother and a sister on it, but you have to understand it's not because you're the color of the skin. The problem is they don't want anybody in the business, and if they can find a way to shut you out so that you're not a part of their competition, they're going to do that. Because I'm finding out that people dirty low.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
My cousin started a trucking business with $50,000.
I believe that.
And he went and bought two brand new semis, and that was over $100,000, and he didn't have no contract. And we was like, what are you doing? But he knew the business, and it worked.
People don't know how to, you know, they you know we crazy.
We didn't know what the hell he was going to do.
We crazy.
Well, his grandmother got money, so she kept the business going, so he got it going.
But that's something different. That's because he had an empty reservoir.
Well, I've seen it with other people. They opened up a clothing store. Just a little boutique. But they go get 2,400 feet when you could have got away with 11. But you wanted that grand entrance.
But you know what? We haven't learned how to work with one another. See, sometimes it's not about how much money I bring to a table, but I bring my mind to a table.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't be in business no way because I can't stand next to a cash register.
Why, you think all the money's yours?
Like you're going to rob me. I'm going to shoot you. So now I got a case.
You know what? You are so sick.
That's why I ain't never thought about going in business. But my one last question.
Okay.
Why is the Mario race so quiet?
Because
I heard on the way over here, somebody announced they were running for governor.
No, mayor.
Oh,
he
mayor.
Said
mayor
was so quiet. Don't know.
Yeah. I had to look at the calendar and I said, they sure they running? Because I hear McNally, one commercial. I haven't heard one commercial from Tito Brown.
Well, call Tito Brown up on the phone and ask him.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know the brother.
I'm just telling you. I know this. It's free to all who apply.
Yeah.
I mean, campaigns are a serious business. And
right.
When you're going to run for an office, you need to understand what it takes to run and what it takes to win. And if you don't strategize and if you don't prepare, then you have a difficult time climbing up that hill. You know,
yeah.
And I'm telling you, and I say this from the Republican view, not from the Democrat view, because Democrats will have a whole other dynamic than we do. At least I know I'm liable to lose just because I'm a Republican.
That's why I asked you, because I know you get that position. So I value your opinion on why the race is so quiet.
Because we have to strategize, and we need to. People don't know what questions to ask. They don't know, and we are arrogant. Chauncey said something very, very informative and very, very wise a little bit earlier. He said, you've got to get your ego out the way. Egos will kill you.
Yeah.
Egos will kill you. And if we're not careful, our ego gets in the way of our success. You need to know what you know and know what you don't know and know how to go get what you don't know from somewhere else. That's what makes success.
Hey, Jay, good
yeah.
show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I found it.
What'd you say, Chicago?
Well, Tracy, today for your young listeners with the social networking and everything like that, today, depending on what they like to do and create and sell, all we have to do today is get them, you know, a group of friends that can throw in some money into whatever company that they what they like to do, and get, you know, of course, get their business license and to get it going. And with the social networking today, you got GoFundMe and a whole different sites where you can ask people for funding for your company to get it going. You have to know what product or whatever you come up with to that you're selling. With today, now you're not going to get a loan from a bank. Only thing you can do is find you if you have rich friends and have personal loans where you know you write up contracts with them, and if they loan you money and they get a percentage back of what how much the company makes. Because the banks are not going to loan any money.
There are ways to raise money. It takes time. It takes diligence. Entrepreneurship is about diligence. It's about fortitude. It's about getting into a relay race or getting into a marathon.
And thinking outside of the box.
And running until you get to the goal. And not everybody has the fortitude to get in the race and then run it until they get to their goal. It takes a lot. And a lot of people don't have what it takes because we haven't conditioned the mindset of people so that they can run in the marathon and take little water drinks along the way and keep on moving.
Well, there's a reason that the majority of newly minted millionaires were C students in school. And that's because they always had to think outside the box and they had to figure a different way around a system because the system is designed for A and B students to succeed.
And you're right. And you have to, I mean, you're always looking for ways to make things work. I talked to a man this morning, and he said, Tracy, why don't you do this? And I said, I don't know how. And you need to know what you know and know what
right.
you, I don't know how. I don't know how to do this.
Right.
I know what, I can tell somebody else how to get to the end of the road, but getting in the car and driving it myself and telling me how to get to the end of the road, I can't do that. And you need to know your limitations. And our problem is we don't always know our limitations. And so we, instead of going and asking people and saying, will you help me? And we hold on to our businesses so tight because we're afraid somebody's going to steal something from us. We end up holding it so close that we lose it all.
Right. My grandfather always said you got to be smart enough to know how stupid you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And,
and the sad thing is the people that I know that are successful, especially the ones that started with nothing, are more than happy to give you advice if you just go ask them. Because most of those people want to see everybody succeed. They're not afraid of your competition.
And it's not always put in the way of everybody. You know, we don't understand that. If you don't see your mom and dad hustling,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of hard for you to get a little hustle in your step. But if your dad and mother are hustlers, you're going to hustle too.
Right. It's hard to be a first generation entrepreneur. It really is. I mean, I'll tell you right now, when my wife and I started buying rental properties, we had family members saying, oh, you'll be bankrupt in 6 months. You can't do that. Well, yeah, you can if you get good advice and plan to work and work the plan.
But you got to know, and we don't always know. We don't, and we need to know that. Hey, South Carolina and Chicago, and Chicago, I mean, you make some good points, but I'm saying that there are ways to overcome things without. You can make it if it's done. If you've done it before, you can do it again. And they didn't have the internet when they started. You can buy anything in the world. You can learn anything in the world if you have access to the internet. And you can go to the library and get that for free if you don't have it at home.
But you're going to pay. You're going to pay tax now. Because I've seen it. I was right. I got it right here. It says President Barack Obama supports the bill.
No, he doesn't. Support
yes, it does. His administration says, you're going to love it. It's the same old dogma.
No.
Yep, his administration says it will help restore needed funding for education, police and firefighters, roads, bridges, and health care.
For taxing the internet.
Yeah.
That's a bad bill. That's a bad. And it passed the House already, didn't it?
No, it says that the Senate, this was dated yesterday, it says the Senate voted to take it up.
But did it pass in the House?
No, because it says here in this article I'm looking at, and this is from KOMONews.com, and it says here, it says fate is uncertain in the House where some Republicans regard it as a tax increase.
It is a tax increase.
Well, it's insane, and they're making a big deal out of under $1 million is exempt. Well, $1 million gross ain't nothing.
But you know what? But this is what I can't comprehend, and maybe you guys can put some clarity on it. All the stores are driving all their businesses, all their customers to the internet for business.
Well, yeah. Guess who's for it?
Who?
Amazon, Walmart.com.
No, I'm talking about Barnes and Noble. You get a better price for a book at BarnesandNoble.com than you do at Barnes and Noble. If you go to Macy's, if you go to Kohl's. You get better pricing.
Right.
You get better. You get a better selection. You're doing
right.
better by going online than to actually.
I mean,
so tell me, why would you hurt your box business for people to go online for business?
Because it's just it doesn't matter.
But it does matter because it hurts the infrastructure of the community.
Do you think? I mean, we've talked about this before. Do you think that Barnes and Noble or Walmart or Kohl's or any of those people care about the community? All they care about is the business turning a profit.
But if I listen, you see, this is something that we have to understand. This is what makes it so insane. If you don't have people working in your stores, that means they're not making any money. If they're not making any money, that means hello. They can't shop at your store. They can't shop online if they're not making any money. So unemployed people don't spend money.
I fully agree. But look at the insanity with every time somebody wants to build a steel mill or a refinery or dig a hole in the ground, get some oil out of it, or dig a coal mine. You know? I mean, every time we turn around, somebody's trying to keep people from working. It's all the way across the board. The businesses that can't go online are the ones they don't want to expand. Kind of hard to have a steel mill online.
Do we that doesn't make sense. I mean, seriously, if you're not working, you're not making any money. If you're not making any money, you can't spend money. If you're not spending any money, how am I going to spend money online or offline? How can I do that?
Well, for example, I just bought a small air conditioner for the camper. It was cheaper to buy from Walmart online and have it shipped to the store than it was to buy it in the store.
That's what I'm saying. Why would you ship all your business to online when you're going to make people lose jobs and you're going to have to? I mean, if you go into a big box grocery store right now, you can't find squat.
Can't find squat on the shelves. You can't find squat for help.
You can't find squat on the shelves or squat for help.
That's true. There's been here lately. I've noticed Walmart shelves are kind of bare.
That's what I'm saying. And they're squeezing everybody out. Walmart is into everything.
Mm-hmm. They're going into healthcare next.
Huh?
Yep.
No.
You watch. You watch. You will see emergency care type clinics in Walmart. They've already got a bank.
The bank's just leasing time, leasing space.
Is it or isn't it?
I don't know.
They got a oil company, Murphy Oil. Are they or aren't they?
I mean, they're selling telephones. They're selling. I mean, they're putting. We don't understand that they come in and they actually marginalize all the businesses and the infrastructure around them to put them out of business, so that they could actually be a monster and raise the prices and have a conglomerate or a monopoly.
Yeah, but guess who's getting ready to take them down?
Who?
Dollar General and Family Dollar?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yep.
Why?
They're gaining market share.
Not enough. Not enough.
Do you realize that in the teens and 20s, A&P Markets, Atlantic Pacific Grocery, had a larger market share than Walmart has today in the United States? When was the last time you seen an A&P store?
Oh, I haven't seen A&P. I haven't seen green stamps in a long time.
It's a business cycle. Walmart will cave sooner or later.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It is an open mic today.
The only way Walmart will not cave is if they can pass enough regulation so that nobody can compete with them. And stuff like this is going to continue because they've got the infrastructure. They've got the infrastructure to do this tax thing. They'll just punch up your zip code when you're taking your order, and it'll spit out what the sales tax rate is. But the mom and pops don't have that infrastructure.
Well, you can find that online. It just takes more time.
Yeah, it takes more time for you. It won't take any time at all for them. Every new regulation puts a small businessman out of business. Gates says he couldn't have started his business today. Jobs said he couldn't have started his business today. Famous Amos Cookies. Look, he started out selling cookies door-to-door in New York City. It'd be illegal today. They'd throw him in jail.
So I have a question. Do you think that people who are in business need to do things that are illegal until they get to where they're going and just take the risk?
They're making it so you have to. They really are. It goes back to that line out of Atlas Shrugged. You know, you got to make everybody a criminal, because you can't have any authority over an innocent man. So we just got to pass enough laws to turn everyone into a criminal.
Did they, let me ask this, did they dedicate the President Bush's presidential library today?
I don't know.
Okay. Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, how are you?
How are you doing on this rainy day?
I'm doing good.
Good.
How about you?
I'm okay, thank you. Message about Walmart?
Yes.
I said that years ago Walmart was going to go down. When Walmart first opened in Boardman, I used to work for their optical. And we were doing good, and I transferred a couple Walmarts in optical. But I remember telling my manager, I said, someday this store's going to go down. And something happened at work that I had to call the general manager in. And he looked at me, Tracy, and he told me, he says, you are nothing but a number here. And I'll never forget him saying that, because it was something personal that happened at work, and I wanted to talk about it. And they wouldn't talk to me about it, and they just said, you're a number here. So I totally agree with him. And when you go shopping today, you do. You see those shelves very bare, you know. And I don't know if it's just because maybe a food shortage we're going to run into, or I don't know the reasons why, but, when I heard that, I just thought, God, let me call her and tell her real quick. But, yeah, I do see them going down. So I don't know. That's a big business.
It's a big business. But the question is, how many before they go out of business, how many people will they put out of business before they go out of business? Because, see, how many jobs will we lose?
Well,
because look at what they've done.
I think the way I'm looking at it is how they treat their employees. And I think that a lot of their employees just may walk away. They cut them so much, the general public really doesn't know unless you have worked there or do work there and experience what they do treat you like. And I shouldn't be saying this on the air, but it happened to me, and I've seen it happen to other people I've worked with.
Well, you know,
that must change store to store, because my brother-in-law works for Walmart, and he loves it.
It all depends on the management that's there.
Exactly.
It all depends on the management that's there. Because I have a major problem with any employee being treated without dignity and respect, even those that don't do necessarily what I need for them to do. I think everyone should be treated with a level of decency.
Oh, I agree. But in those stores, you got your different your different branches, like the photo department. Are they still, is the photo department still there? I don't even know.
I don't go in there.
Oh, okay. Well, I know they used to have their own photo department, so they were treated differently. The hair salon was treated differently. And as far as optical, we were totally off on the other end, and we were treated differently by different management. So what the store manager may have said for us to do, it kind of affected us, but the general manager of the optical is what.
And let me, a lot of them have been sub-jobbed out by another company. So they get a percentage of share, but the actual ownership and or footprint is owned by somewhere else. It's almost like when you go inside of a department store and you have all these fragrance counter and all the makeup counters.
Uh-huh.
You don't
right.
realize that most of those people do not work directly for Macy. They actually lease that space, and then that space, they work for half for Macy and half for Lancome.
Right.
And then Lancome, Estee Lauder, and all of them are owned by the same people.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I heard him say that about them going out of business, I thought, oh geez, I remember telling my manager that years and years ago. I said, you watch, but I mean, I would hate to see it because I do go there a lot for my groceries. I mean, I think they're the cheapest that I can find, you know, or maybe just something quick that you can grab there. But just the way they treat their employees,
there will always be demand for that capacity, so those jobs will go to another retailer.
Maybe.
What made you say the dollar store is going to take them over?
I don't think so.
Because I've been watching on the business networks, and the dollar stores are getting more and more. They're getting more and more. Share of the business. They're increasing their share of the market.
You can't buy everything there.
That's a big comparison. The dollar store to Walmart.
Yeah, I mean you can't get any. I mean, dollar store has. Well, you can't get everything there.
No,
not even close.
You go to Walmart. You got your groceries. You got your clothes.
You got your tires. You got your tools. Phone. You got your guns. You got your phones. You got your TV.
Right,
you do. You could,
but
you
they're
could
getting. What I'm saying is they're growing, and if you look, their floor space, they're getting a bigger diversity of stuff in there. I mean, I remember when they opened at Dollar General in Sebring, you know, they had six bags of chips and two cartons of soap.
See now,
and now you can do now if you're a single person, you can do your entire grocery shopping just about the dollar store in Sebring.
I think that's
Dollar General.
That might be.
Why do you think Walmart shelves are so bare?
I think they're just trying to do just-in-time delivery to the point where they're over just-in-timed it.
Well, you know what? Now, you also have to understand that Walmart doesn't warehouse. They drop ship.
Right.
There are some places that have distribution centers. Walmart, if I'm not mistaken, they no longer have distribution centers because they're manufacturers. For you to do business with Walmart, you almost have to drop ship to every store based upon a computerized printout that goes to all of their vendors. So I know because as a manufacturer's rep, when they converted over to that system, all the manufacturers were upset because at one time a company like Walmart would buy a truck and they would go into various distribution centers and then it would actually go out from the distribution center out to their stores. Where now Walmart, you actually hold on to your inventory until they call for it, and then you have to go out and get it done. Now, I got to
check because they had just opened a Walmart distribution center not 7-8 years ago down in South Elizabeth. Can't remember the name of that town down in there.
What did you say, South Carolina?
Oh, Tracy, we have a Walmart distribution center here, not very far from here, The thing that Walmart ran into is what they've done is they refuse to go into certain towns because of demographics, okay? And what's happened is a lot of these folks, like the Dollar Generals and the Family Dollar stores, they said, okay, if Walmart won't come, we'll come.
We will.
So
Walmart's only going to townships. They don't go into cities.
Right.
That's not true.
Where do you find one in the cities? There's only one in New York City. One.
City Alliance City.
Well, what we've got is we don't have a Walmart. There's a Walmart
inside the
15
city limits
miles
of
away. Yeah, there's a Walmart 15 miles away in one direction and 10 miles away in the other direction. So they weren't going to put another one in the small town that I live in. But I've got $5 Generals and four Family Dollar stores.
Yeah, see, I had heard the original plan was to put a supermarket every 30 miles.
I don't, because, see, there's a reason why they won't go into Youngstown City, but they'll go into Liberty Township and they'll go into Canfield Township.
Weren't they picking it out of Youngstown City? That's why they don't go into New York.
No, that's not why they pick it in Youngstown City. No. No, they didn't want to go into a incorporated city.
Well, they're in Alliance. They're inside the city limits of Alliance.
You have to look. I mean, they may be.
And they're inside the city limits of North Canton.
The strip
is inside the city limits of North Canton.
But most of their stores are in townships. You will find the majority of them in townships.
I know DC voted to keep them out.
I mean, the Canfield wanted them out, didn't want them out there, and that's why they're not out there.
So, you know, I mean, some of that, the fact they're not in cities is because the people said, don't come here.
Yeah.
Well, how much of it has to do with the unions, guys?
Well, it all has to do with the unions.
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe in it because unions can go anywhere. It's not like you can't. What'd you say, South Carolina?
There's been a big push for the union to organize Walmart stores. I mean, they're the biggest employer in the United States, and they're not unionized.
He's got a point.
You guys have a great day.
Hey,
you too.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
It says here they've got 42 regional distribution centers, each 1 million square feet. They got 6,500 tractors and 55,000 trailers. Each one of these supports between 75 and 100 stores within a 250-mile radius.
But they don't drop. But they do a lot of drop shipping. You just can't put all your. They don't buy direct.
Well, they buy local too, though.
Yeah, but they don't buy. When I say direct, at one time they used to for every SKU they had, they actually housed all the SKUs.
Right.
They don't do that anymore because it hurt manufacturers bad back in the early. In the late 80s, early 90s,
mm-hmm.
when they converted over to that, because it would be nice for you to get your money, and then you would hold on to it until you sold it, and if you didn't sell it too bad, and they quit doing that.
They're not the first.
Well, might not be the first, but it is.
You know what Henry Ford did back in the 30s?
No.
Came out with a model and told all of his dealers, hey, you're either gonna pony up and buy them all up front, or you're not going to get any cars.
They don't do that now, do they?
I don't know.
I don't know. I just know doing business now is very difficult.
Yes, it is.
Especially
on a small scale. I mean, it is extremely hard for a small businessman to expect to start out in his 20s as a small guy and end up as a Bill Gates or a Steve Jobs.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Oh, yes, it is.
Why?
Because of the taxes and regulations that have been put in your way.
I don't think so.
I do.
I don't think so, because if you look at the Internet, if you can come up with a way, if you look at how the touchscreen that we use for tablets,
mm-hmm.
and if you go to TED, I think TED.com, and you'll find a lot of innovators in the TED conferences. If you can come up with ways to redevelop things, you still have the ability to go and become a Steve Jobs and a Bill Gates. Now,
do you know what it costs to create and get licensed and EPA approved a compressed natural gas conversion kit?
But we're not talking about you're dealing in a whole other industry where you almost have to have. Right, they said the other day here. There are classes that are anywhere from $16,000 to $2,000 that you have to take to become certified to work anywhere in the oil and gas industry.
And why is that?
Well, that's to keep everybody out.
Absolutely, that's what I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to say.
In the 50s,
you just put a kit together, put it on the market, and sold it.
But it was not always safe either. Remember, some regulations came because of the lack of safety measures that were put in, and the people that had it didn't care. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. The manufacturers didn't care. They sold stuff that they knew was bad.
But a small guy's not, on average, isn't going to do that because he won't be in business more than two minutes.
That's not true.
Well,
Let's be real about this, and I'm going to take a break. But let's look at the guy who dumped the brine.
He's a moron.
Not the point. Look at what he did.
Yeah, he's a moron. He's not in business, is he?
Yeah, he's in business.
No, he's not. He just went bankrupt.
Hold on. He tried to transfer the business to his wife. Listen to what I'm saying. The moron still made a mistake, and he didn't care what happened to the people who it might infect. How many morons do we have out there?
Fewer than you might think.
We have more than you might know.
The people that are looking for long-distance, long-term business don't do stuff like that. Who want to leave stuff to their children's children don't do things
like
that.
Okay, let's look at the steel mill sticks. Why is it that we can't use the Mahoning River?
Lack of education.
Come on, they knew. Let's go to cigarettes for a minute. How many people knew that cigarettes were bad for people, but they kept on selling them and they didn't do anything about it? How long did they know?
But how many years? How many years were there? Ever since you and I've been born, there's been a warning on the pack.
How long did they know before the warning went on the pack that it was capable of killing people and the carcinogens in there? How long? And they knew, and they continued to sell.
They had a product somebody wanted.
Come on, Sticks. They knew that it was killing people, and they continued to push it. They continued to push it towards kids, and they continued to sell it, not because they cared, but because of the greed of corporations. I love you being so, but you people don't care about, that's why there are regulations in place, because people are morons, and there are more morons out there that are greedy than there are people who are not.
But the problem is we're regulated to death.
That's because we've got idiots, and we don't want to acknowledge that there are people.
I do acknowledge, and they should be prosecuted and fined under civil law.
But you can't prosecute them if there's no regulation.
Yes, you can.
How?
You can take them to civil court, and you can sue them for the value of the damage that they've done to someone else's property.
Six. How many people died from lung cancer before they even got a dime, and they acknowledged that they knew? Come on. Think about that.
But
what? They knew?
You had to know cigarettes were bad for you the minute you picked them up.
No, you didn't. There's too many of us that smoked.
No, I smoked.
And look at how many people died from lung cancer.
But the very first pack of cigarettes I ever bought had a warning on it that said it's bad for your health.
What about the ones that didn't? Remember, when we were growing up, cigarettes were pretty.
We had candy cigarettes.
They glamour. That's what I'm saying. They prepared us for smoking before we were even allowed to smoke.
I remember the Marlboro Man.
See, but don't forget about the Camel Cow.
Oh, that came way later. The cartoon character that was in the 80s or 90s. I mean, we were already adults by then.
Do we realize that they actually marketed cigarettes to kids?
They market beer to teenagers too.
Again, why do we do that? So you tell me that they care? They don't care. Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is healthcare. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, or the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. JMSElderLaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM. Every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk. News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. It is open mic, and Sticks and I here is hump day. I want to thank Chauncey for coming in and hanging out. They're going to have a Minority Business Assistance Center business mixer on tomorrow at 5:30. I want you to come out and hang out with us. The number is 347-945-5229.
He's a neat guy. I'd like to have dinner with him sometime.
Good guy. You guys get along.
Invite him out for some canned meat. No.
I want some more sausage. I got to bring your book back to you, but I want some more sausage.
Well,
what'd you say?
Well, Tracy, too, it just shows you that, the billion-dollar corporations – that, it used to be different back in the day because the actual creator of the company used to run the company. Now they have board of directors that put CEOs in and really don't have a clue what's going on in their company and don't really care to get a paycheck. Look at the guy that got the golden parachute from Home Depot. He walked out of there with $200 million, and finally the board of directors got upset with him and got rid of him because he was doing basically a terrible job running the company. Not just Home Depot, there's been some other billion-dollar companies also. But that just shows you the lack of management with these companies.
Well, there's another dynamic to this too, Chicago, and that's companies no longer have to look at long-term profitability. Oh, they're only looking at the next quarter to drive their stock price. There was a time back in the teens and 20s when people didn't buy stock for appreciation, they bought it for dividend. And when you buy a company for dividend, you're looking to buy a company and hold it and collect a monthly check for the rest of your life. And now that we've gone away from that system where that dividend is the important driver of a stock, you know, now it's become Russian roulette.
He's right about that. But who did that?
I blame it on the Federal Reserve. I wish Alex had called in.
The Federal Reserve?
I blame it on the Federal Reserve. Because we
I blame the Board of Directors and what's going on here. See, what's happening now, everybody wants quick money. And when you have that kind of problem, they're not looking for longevity in their companies. So they don't care if they can make a quick buck. Same thing what happened with the housing market. That bubble collapsed. It was selling these homes, buying them, fixing them up, selling them, and then that bubble collapsed, and they wasn't looking at the longevity of making money. So,
but see, they don't care about the longevity. They don't care about the longevity.
No,
as long as
no, they don't.
But when your dollar is losing 3 to 5 to 7 to 10% a year in value, you know, it drives the psychology of I got to get in and I got to get out right now. I've got to make, if the dollar wasn't losing 3, 5, 7, 10% of its value every year, people would be looking at long-term investments. They would buy a stock that had a 3 or 4% dividend over a risky stock that paid no dividend but maybe was moving up quickly. Because people, especially our grandparents, were very, very conservative in what they did with their money. They wanted a steady, slow return on the rate of return on their money. And I honestly believe when we went from an asset-based currency, which was based on gold, to a debt-based currency based on the Federal Reserve, that we changed the psychology of money in the United States.
But what I'm and what I'm saying is, for some reason, we have taken more stock in Wall Street than we have in Main Street. Small business drives America,
right.
Not Wall Street.
Right.
We have allowed everything that we own to have a foundation on Wall Street, where now Main Street is no longer relevant.
Well, the stock market is completely and totally divorced from the actual economy.
Correct. But we keep on basing our economy based upon Wall Street and not upon Main Street. You can't have the unemployment that we have on Main Street and then tell me that Wall Street is soaring.
It's psychology driven.
And so what's happening right now, we have an economy that is so fragile. Remember, the housing bubble blew up the Wall Street because of regulations that shouldn't have been regulated.
Right.
And we have people who are disconnected from society representing us in Congress, making laws and making regulations without getting the full circle of stuff, and we get dumb stuff done.
Well, what it boils down to is you have these economists that understand the psychology of people thinking they have more money when they actually have less money.
Correct.
And we're being driven almost like cattle, actually like cattle, because we see the stock market going up and my 401k is going up, but we don't realize that the cost of living is going up faster than what our investments are going up, so we're actually getting poorer every year, even though we think we're getting richer. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Because I can guarantee you right now, my dad lived a heck of a lot better on $5 an hour than I'm living on what I'm making.
I mean, well, you live better on a one income family than we live.
That's
now.
Right. My mother never worked. Well, my mother worked a farm. But she never worked. Well, I shouldn't say that. She worked a couple of years here and a couple of years there.
But that's because our priorities have changed in America.
Well, and our monthly consumption has increased too. There's so many things on the market now that weren't even an option. In the 50s, nobody had a cable bill. In the 50s, nobody had a cell phone bill. In the 50s, very few families had two cars.
But you didn't have. But again, you had two people. You didn't have minimum wage that was hanging around $10 an hour.
Come on now.
You got to understand the market measures of minimum wage is driving the economy for us to go into an inflation.
Well, yes, absolutely.
That's really, really bad. Hey, go ahead, Chicago. You were going to say something.
Oh well, one of my favorite shows is to watch is American Greed, and watch these. Some of these billionaires, how they stole people's money and see what they have left Main Street with the bill. So, you know, what it is that you have people that's controlling basically, if you want to say Wall Street or the big-time economics, that's leaving the Main Street American people with the bill, and that is the problem.
Hey, Matt, your mic's on.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, Matt.
Oh,
Turn
I'm just,
in.
I'm sore. I'm very sore today. You know that it's spring when the one day that you go out and actually do work and you wake up the next day and you're sore and you realize that you haven't done anything all winter. It's unbelievable. But what are you going to do? The whole future or the whole stock market thing is based so not on substance anymore. It's all about futures. It used to have something to do with to see how companies were actually doing substance-wise. There's no substance anymore, and nobody looks at how companies are actually doing. Everything is based on a fear. What's going to happen in the future? I think that has a lot to do with why our dollar is losing value all over the place. Because, as I said, nothing's ever based on substance. And that's got to change because, how a company produces or how it does doesn't matter anymore.
And I agree.
I do, too.
I agree. And we don't understand that we're getting caught up in this ball as the American people. And we don't have any say at the table of how this is being governed because the infrastructure and the representatives of America are so far removed from America that everybody is just infuriated and they don't understand the only way they can do this is to get engaged and they don't know how.
Well, Thomas Jefferson warned us of a central bank. He said when the bankers controlled the currency that would be the end of the country. And that's exactly what we did with the Federal Reserve Act. Because without the Federal Reserve Act, none of these banks would have gotten that big, too big to fail. And without the Federal Reserve Act, none of these, there would have been no government bailout.
518, your mic is on.
What's going on, Tracy and friends? How you feel?
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Good, Rick.
I'm good. Listen, I hear what you're saying, and I completely agree, but I would have only one question. I'm convinced our government is secretly doing things to manipulate the people, and this fear that you're talking about, I heard the gentleman just say, the fear that we are working under, I believe wholeheartedly it's a fear that's been instilled by our government for us to be driven into certain areas of our economy, of our hospital system, our judicial system. The fear that they have put in, it's government-given fear. I believe that's all a plan, a ploy for us to do exactly what they want us to do without their, quote-unquote, pulling of the strings we're asking for. And so when we finally get what we want or what they want and we realize, oh, it's not what we really asked for, they'll say, no, remember, you voted for this. And that's, Tracy, that's basically what you've been saying about how in Youngstown specifically, we always vote for the other guy, but when the other guy does something that we don't approve of, all they can come back and say is, well, no, remember, you voted for this.
I think he's right. I think the American people are being herded into a place, and when they finally close the gate, we're not going to like it very much.
You know, I told my mom this morning, let me take my break and I'll come back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM.
Anybody out there?
Hey, who is that?
Hello?
Chicago?
No, no, no. This is Rick. Who's this?
This is Matt. How you doing?
Matt, how you doing? Yeah, you were the one that made the comment about the people being moved into fear decisions. That's where the corporations are driving this.
Yeah, I mean, nothing deals with how companies do because of production or how they're, you know, nothing is being dealt with in reality anymore. It's all gone from a long-term future to a short-term fear. And I think that's a big reason why we're having these issues that we're having, especially in the last 15 years anyway.
Oh, I believe it wholeheartedly, even on a smaller scale where you all have companies that particularly don't like to hire full-time people anymore. Generally, they're going to hire you part-time. This is a much smaller scale. But they're going to hire you part-time based on the fact that they just don't want to pay out what it costs to have a full-time employee.
And full-time, that used to be, you know, if you pay your employees what they're worth, and if they produce for you and you pay them what they're worth, it used to be, you know, a good thing because you got a better product out of it. You had a happier employee who was going to produce for you. But now
not only did you have a happier employee that was going to produce for you, you could almost bank on that employee being an employee for a minimum of 10 to 15 years. And that particular time frame that existed anymore today, someone that stays on a job for more than 5 years, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I'm lucky to be where I'm at. I work at a place. It's old school, the way it functions. The owner of the company keeps everybody there extraordinarily happy because he invests so much money into the employees with training, and you name it. Just so much capital he spends on his employees to make sure that they're happy, that they want to be there. That way, they will be there. And we produce a fantastic product because of it. Nobody's willing to do that anymore. And the other problem is customer service. That's in the toilet anymore, too.
Oh, that's completely gone down. But I think, once again, what you said, the competition of today's market, I don't think has anything to do with investing in your employees. I think it has everything to do with how fast we can produce this product that anymore today, I don't know if you just something as simple as electronics. Electronics of today don't last as long as they did yesterday. The appliances of today don't last as long as they did yesterday. You can almost guarantee some type of appliance or electronic breaking within a year's time. And God forbid you don't buy the extended warranty, then you're out. You have to pay for it to be fixed or just go out and buy another one. And
yeah.
that bothers me because, as you stated, we're not the companies today really aren't investing in their employees or their facilities to make sure that they produce a good product that's going to give you the longevity of yesterday. And now everything is about, well, No, we don't really care about producing a good product. We just want to make sure we produce the product, get it out there on the market, and then what we'll do is we'll make money on parts. So we'll charge them for an arm and a leg for the parts because we know this product is going to break within the first 60 days of it being out there. And
mm-hmm.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
A good example, just look at TVs anymore. You remember when TVs used to last 20 years? You used to have that, you know, console TV that was sitting there, and it usually
the
it would go through.
The same TV. You can leave your mother's house and come back, and the same TV still works.
Yep. And now, what do they last now? 7-8 years, if you're lucky? Something like that?
If that. I'm so convinced that they do this intentionally. I did my little research on a TV that I purchased, and the parts cost more than the TV itself.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's like my car. Cars are another thing. I'll tell you what. What do I have right now? I have a 2008.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Kia. And it's probably the last car that I'll be able to work on without having to go and get special training or special tools, you know?
Exactly.
It's incredible. I mean, I took my car in there. It's not that old. And they wanted
right.
almost $3,000 for suspension parts. I go, that's all right. I'll figure it out.
Right.
It took me a while. I busted a lot of knuckles. I swore a lot. I came up with a whole new vocabulary, but I got it done. Got a feeling it's the last one I'm going to be able to work on.
Well, yeah, generally that's basically how they set it up now. Even the aftermarket places are now phasing out the different cars that they can work on anymore because everything they want you to do is take it back to the dealer.
Yeah, take it back to the dealer parts, and not just with cars. You look at like what you were talking about, appliances and stuff. Air conditioning, you used to be able to work on air conditioning, sort of. You'd be able to fill it up with some Freon or something. They've changed all that,
right.
too. It's a nightmare.
Nightmare. But this is where our society has moved to, where the service industry is now probably it generates that much money because you have to go out and get service. You can't be that homemade mechanic anymore. You can't be that homemade Mr. Fix-It anymore because everything now has some type of special computer chip that makes the fan work. And if the fan isn't working right, it's not easy to fix anymore. The computer chip costs $350, and the fan was only $80. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it's all in the name of environmentalism, too, if you look at all this. It all deals with your emissions. Emissions is huge. And the more and more that people learn to get around it or learn how to fix it, you'll see those constraints come in tighter and tighter. And it's ridiculous. I mean, computers for cars, $2,000 for a freaking computer? Yikes.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Hello? I hear you guys talking and very interesting discussion, but my thought comes back to capitalism. I mean, just about a person being able to make as much profit as they want to. We can sit and complain about the price and cost of things all we want, but I mean, that's the nature of our society now, is that a person is allowed to make as much money as they want.
Hi, Diva. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
One of my best days, but
it's not a cap. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
All right. It's not a capitalism thing per se. As I just pointed out, the reason that why a lot of these things are costing so much with these cars and stuff, and the reason why people can't work on them is because of these emissions, these things that are being passed by the government by law that these cars have to have. Some of these grandfathered cars, they're already talking about doing legislation.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. Sorry that was such a long break, but today's Wednesday. You know, we do the Drilling Down Report on Wednesday, and it showed up, and I hadn't played it, so I had to get that out. But I do want to remind you that's on tomorrow, Thursday, April 25th at 5:30, the East Meets West Network Affair. MyCap and Minority Business Assistance Center, they will be hosting a networking function called Getting Your Cash to Flow, Networking with Magnet Moguls and Entrepreneurs. It's going to be held at 5:30 tomorrow at Lindmar Strategy Studio at 16 Wick Avenue. They want you to come. If you want to RSVP, please do so at 330-747-7921, extension 1150. I'm also, please go out and see Barbie Doll.
You want to say that slower.
Please go out and see Barbie Doll.
Who was that?
It's Barbie Doll, not Barbie Doll.
Oh. Please go
and when you
Barbie.
Speak, it sounds like you're saying Barbie doll, and everybody's got one of those
right.
in their daughter's bedroom somewhere.
No, they don't have a Barbie doll. They have a Barbie doll.
Right.
Go out
Who
and see
that?
Dolls, Antiques, and All. They're located on the corner of South Avenue and Western Reserve. And you can give her a call at 330-797-2301. Tell her Tracy sent you and tell her she's on her way, but she's just a flake. Everybody knows I'm a flake, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, just checking. Just making sure. Yeah. Yes, Dick.
I want to shift gears. We got a local company that's got a connection to the bombing.
Why do you want to talk about Phantom Fire? They're not paying for good publicity.
It was bad publicity.
No, it wasn't. It was good publicity.
It was bad publicity.
It was good publicity.
Because you know they're going to regulate. I got a phone call from my daughter last night. She's afraid they're going to make her register her
firm
pressure cooker.
I'm going to the phone. Hey, Diva.
Hey.
Listen, I heard you dropped in and didn't even say hi to the people. They just said something that got on your nerves and you just dropped in. I heard, and
no,
I was not even listening.
My nerves. It was a great conversation they were having, and I just, y'all
what
know
what were they
me.
Talking
just,
about?
They were talking about the cost of products and how much things cost and service, and it was a good conversation.
Okay, just checking. Hey,
yeah,
Matt.
Tracy, it wasn't.
Go ahead, Rick.
Hello?
I wanted to fuss at Matt for a minute, but since you jumped in, Rick, I'll go ahead and let you finish your statement.
Well, no, the conversation was just as general as us talking about the way society is just gearing us and driving us into a cost. But what we don't get is when we think of normal. Yeah, I used to look back at my parents and say, I remember when something was. A loaf of bread was 80 cents, 60 cents. A loaf of bread, and I would always say, well, it doesn't cost that now. And in my mind, I couldn't understand why they would make those comments. Well, they made those comments because it was normal to them. And unfortunately, what being normal for this new generation or this new people is, we assume that this is normal. It's normal for your car to break down after the first year of you driving it. It's normal. It's normal for your refrigerator, your furnace, your water heater. So that's normal. So I have to call the water people, the water fixer people out to come and check. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And that's a dangerous way to train your society, to train your society that nothing is made to last forever. That's a dangerous way to train your society.
Let me say this, and let me shift gears for just a second. But I said this to my mom. I remember when you bought something from Made in America because it had pride. See, the American worker at one time had pride not only in itself but in the product that it produced. Right now, people don't have pride in their job or what they do. And a lot of it has to do with because people don't appreciate the people that work there. And so you've got people working for people who don't appreciate them and people that are working that don't appreciate the job. And no one is actually understanding that they don't appreciate the product that they're making so that the consumer can be appreciated. Because everybody's mad going to work because it's just a dog-eat-dog world for real.
And I kind of have to disagree with you about the quality of products anymore, Rick, because a 66 Chevy was not going to last 750,000 miles. You buy a new Chevy, if you treat it right, you'll get 750,000 miles out of it.
But the reason why it didn't last was not because they didn't put the pride into it.
No, it was a quality of material.
Right. And remember, we had cars made of steel and steel had rust.
Well, you still got cars made of steel. It's just that they've developed new ways to rust-proof it, to coat it, that they
right.
never had. We've got better quality motor oils today than we had before.
But you used to be able to buy an iron, and the iron would last for generations.
I still got the same iron I bought when I enlisted in the Navy.
And
cost me $20.
And that iron was not made in China.
Yeah, you buy iron now, you're lucky to get a year out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to
understand. Yeah, let's just.
I've gone through four irons.
Make it
iron.
Relative. You didn't go into cars. That don't count. But when you go and buy, when you could go and buy a suit, a set of clothes, and as long as you didn't wear it out, it was. If you didn't get too big. You can keep
jeans.
Hand-me-downs don't work anymore. You can't hand them down for generations to come.
Remember when you bought a new pair of Levi's
and they
weren't comfortable until you wore them for 6 months?
Now they wear out before you get them in.
Yeah.
You could drag your blue jeans across the floor for years to come and they would still not wear.
Right.
Now they are worn. They don't even have the seams inside the blue jeans correct, so when you iron them, you match the seam up completely straight up the leg. Am I wrong?
Who irons her jeans?
I do.
Oh.
It's a black thing.
Mother does.
What'd you say, Diva?
I said my mother does, too. Boy, she makes sure she still put creases in them.
Absolutely. You're supposed to iron your blue
jeans.
That's
the way it's supposed to be.
That's what a dryer is for.
No.
Good.
And I will tell you.
Wrinkle-free setting, and boom, you're good to go.
No. My mama would have the iron, the good old heavy, Tracy. I know you remember that good old steel iron, heavy. You pour some water in that bad fella, get the steam going, man. You have a crease that would last your pants all week.
Women, I got one. Women, you talking about iron. I have one of those irons. Those irons still work. Why are you playing?
Yeah, that's what mine is.
That's what I'm talking about.
You can't find an iron like that nowadays. You can find one close for about $60, and it won't last you as long.
Nobody irons anymore.
Yeah, I do. I iron my sheets still.
But that's you.
What do you mean?
You ain't right.
What do you mean I ain't right? You can me.
And you iron your sheets, and neither one of us is right. We got a whole room full of crazy in here.
Yeah, iron my sheets. They don't sleep right until you iron them.
You're supposed to get them right out of the
dryer
warm.
For with dryer sheets.
What'd you say, Diva?
You put them in a dryer on the wrinkle-free setting with some dryer sheets, and you're good to go. They're soft.
Hey, Diva, check this out.
That's a
lie, Diva. You know how the products in the store, I'll give you an example. You say wrinkle-free. That's a selling tactic. That stuff doesn't mean that, man. I don't believe anybody that says that it really works. You still need a good old-fashioned hot iron with some steam. And then Tracy, now I know you remember Faultless and Magic something, the spray starch.
Leave them in the dryer for a long period of time. Of course, they're going to continue to wrinkle. But if you put them in the dryer on the wrinkle-free setting and take them out as soon as it's done, they are wrinkle-free.
No, Diva, they ain't wrinkle-free.
Take your clothes out, your jeans, hang them up on a hanger.
I don't believe that.
You know what? Let me tell you. Diva, I can't believe I'm going to say that. I'm totally on board with what Diva's saying because I do the same thing. If I got to go somewhere, you know, whatever, and I need a nice pair of slacks or whatever, I'll take them out and they're wrinkled. Like, oh my God, I only have like 15 minutes, you know, and I got to do other things. I don't have time to pull out an ironing board. I throw a damp washcloth in the dryer with my pants, turn it on, it comes out wrinkle free. I no crease. But no wrinkles.
Matt, you got to write that date down.
this is like a
holiday.
It's crazy.
You agree?
All right.
You agree with Diva?
The week off.
But now you know that Diva's going to buy a gun now, right? Have you heard?
What?
You haven't been listening in. That's why I'm going to fuss at
you.
Yes.
Remind me. I have to ask Sticks what he thinks. Sticks. I saw the lavender lady online. That's not the gun for me. It just seems too bulky. I'm not a friend of. I've never liked revolvers. To me, they're ugly and they're bulky. So, I was thinking of the Smith and Wesson 9mm M&P Special. I think that's what it's called. What do you think?
I'm not a big fan of semi-autos for a new gun owner. Because they jam, I'm just not a big fan, and I'm not a fan of 9mm either, because it's a light round.
Hey, but Diva,
I'll tell you what I like.
Before you buy a gun,
Rick, wait a minute, hold on, let him get his thought out so she can get the full answer. Go ahead.
Are you planning on carrying this thing or just having it in a finger safe under your bed?
Finger safe under my bed.
I recommend a Taurus Judge.
What is it? Is it? I have to look at it.
My wife carries a Poly, but for a house gun, I strongly recommend you look at a Taurus Judge in a full frame, and you load it with triple-aught buckshot.
Is that a rifle?
No. It's a handgun.
All right.
And the reason?
Six.
Yeah.
Six. Diva, and Sticks, my only question to Diva, and this is probably a very silly question to you, I'm assuming you guys have had this conversation, do you even know how to shoot a firearm? Maybe you need to take the course before you actually go out and buy
We've
a firearm.
We've already discussed that I will be taking CCW class at classes and going to the fire range and everything before I actually purchase a gun. I'm not going to be.
Okay, all right. Please,
when we got into this discussion,
Rick, I have a child in the house. So.
When we got into this discussion, Rick, I made her promise me that before my wife and I are going to take her shopping, but I made her promise before she did, she went and took a firearm safety course and a concealed carry course, even if she doesn't follow through and get the license.
Okay. All right. Please, Diva. Don't start shooting that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going to help anybody get a gun that don't know how to use one.
I'm
looking at the Taurus Judge.
Hold on, Diva. Hey, Matt, you hear this conversation about guns?
I'm shocked. I'm waiting for Stan to call in and tell us that he found God. I'm shocked. Diva, good for you. Take those classes. I'm proud of you.
And you know what? And let me say this. Diva is not the only one. We need to understand that there is a misinformation that is given to a lot of people about a lot of things. And you gotta realize that we need to just start using some sense with it, because you don't have to go out and shoot people and be crazy with it, but you need to know why things are the way they are and what you need to do so that you can protect your life, protect your future, and protect your health. I mean, it's just that simple.
But Tracy, can we start encouraging, especially women? I don't know if men should be interested in this, because I have a wife and I have daughters. I'm more interested in my women being savvy on knowing how to protect themselves, self-defense courses. And before you actually go ahead and start learning how to shoot at a gun at 30 paces away, can you defend yourself if you happen to be in a situation where you have to do hand-to-hand, wrestle, whatever, I'm just convinced that those are things that women today really need to have some type of self-knowledge on, because before I actually shoot you, maybe I can restrain you.
Rick, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Hold on, Diva. 35
pounds. Hold on, Diva. Hold on, Diva. Listen, Rick. There's two things for me to do. One is to shoot. The other is to run. I need to make a decision on which one's going to work best for me. If you really think I'm going to try to engage in a hand-to-hand, one-on-one combat with anything. Hold on, Rick. Anything bigger than my coffee cup.
There are no excuses. There are women in the police force that are small women that can take down a big man. There are women in the army
I'm a big girl, and I'm telling you now, I'm either going to shoot you, stab you, or I'm going to run. But I'm definitely not going to try to. No, because, see, you might hit me back. No, I don't like pain. I don't like to be hit. So no, I can run or I can shoot. One of the two. I don't even like knife, because knife is too close.
It's always
and
a
I
good
like
idea. It's a good idea to get self-defense courses in case the gun jams, okay? But the gun, I think, should always be your go-to thing or running. But if that gun jams, not a bad idea.
Okay, now,
revolvers don't jam.
We're not fast enough.
Oh, no. Then the bullet is. But revolvers don't jam. That's what Stick said. But let me say this. If my gun jams, that's what they make the butt of the gun for.
Right.
That's my dear. My dear said she got a Smith & Wesson. Was it Smith & Wesson?
I think, yeah.
The Smith & Wesson.
I'm trying to tell you, if I can't shoot you, I'm going to hit you with the butt of the gun, and I'm going to run.
And
if it's a male, I'm going to kick you in where the sun don't shine, and I'm still going to run.
And I'll tell you, a concealed carry purse, most of them are designed to be fired without being unholstered out of the purse.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm just going to shoot you. It ain't personal.
Right.
And what I'd like you to do, Diva, is after you've taken your course, I'd like you to come up and I'll round up every kind of firearm you want to shoot, and we'll let you shoot everything you want to shoot, and we'll see which one you like best, which one fits you best, and which one's easiest for you to operate.
Y'all going to laugh at me.
No, we ain't. No, we ain't, because you're going to be educated
like
before you come up here.
Like, she can't shoot for nothing.
Do like me. Just close your eyes and shoot. And whatever you hit,
you're
hit, and whatever you don't, face up.
Oh, I know that much. You're not supposed to surprise.
You close your eyes and you say a prayer and you just shoot and you say duck and whatever.
Oh.
Don't duck, get shot.
I know you're not supposed to close your eyes. Not that much.
Because I don't want to hurt nobody, not even if you're trying to assault me.
Everyone is so shell shocked that I've decided that I'm going to buy a gun, but I'm actually excited. Because I used to live in my house, fear, because my bedroom faces the steps. And there are times where I would get a little paranoid and think, what if somebody comes up? And I'm like, okay, well, I got my phone. I'll just call the police. But then after I read that court paper, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, and then just thinking more and more, I'm like, man, I feel sorry for the fool that try. After I get my gun, I feel sorry for the fool to try to come in my house because he get to the top of the steps, he's gone.
Ah, now you understand. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Matt, where have you been? Have we told you that, you know, working is not an option in the daytime?
We had this conversation. I called last week. I'm pretty sure I called last week. I thought I did anyway.
He called in one day.
We had to talk to Jeff and not to me.
We had a once-a-week agreement until things slow down here. I'm trying to make it more often, but I got so much stuff going on, it's ridiculous.
I don't mind.
I do.
Hopefully
listen,
you'll let me. Well, okay, then we're okay as long as you're listening. But I do miss your input because you're an asset. You know, I got people that need, and people wonder where my friends are. I'm having Stanley withdrawals.
Yeah, where is Stan?
I don't know. I'm having Stanley withdrawals. Stanley hasn't called in a month, and I don't know where Stanley is. And you know,
what's
people think that we all know
Stanley?
Each other. And it's really kind of weird when I tell them, you know what, we really don't. I've never met these people. If they walked into the studio and slapped me in the head, I wouldn't know who they are.
Except me. You didn't meet me.
I have met you. But South Carolina is the same way. And it's when I'm you know, Stanley, is as much as he drives me nuts, I still miss him when he's not around. It's like the brother that is lost.
South Carolina's a cool guy.
Yeah, Sticks knows South Carolina. Sticks went out and met him. I'm not going to NASCAR to meet South Carolina.
I'm actually headed down to South Carolina tomorrow, but I hear he's going to Georgia, so he must have knew I was coming. So
he's about 3 hours south of where you're headed.
How do you know where he's headed? How do you guys?
No. I mean where he lives. Where he lives is about 3 hours south of where Matt's going.
How do you know where Matt's going?
Because he put it in the chat room, and you wasn't watching.
Jeez, old man, everybody knows stuff about my friends, and I don't know anything about my friends. Jeff's the same way. Y'all, they be getting online and talking on Facebook and writing stuff and acting crazy. And Jeff knows everyone. I'm like, how do you know all this? He said, well, we talked. Haven't you guys heard that you're not supposed to talk without me?
No, I didn't know that you had a...
That's a regulation.
We didn't know you had a monopoly on conversation.
Absolutely. That's the United States government.
I'm looking at the Tracy and Friends website here. I don't see in the directions that particular
I remember,
thing. Yeah, I don't see that.
Well, I'm getting ready to revamp them, so I promise to put them in.
I'll be looking for that, Tracy. Make sure you have that and that you've got to close your eyes when you shoot a gun. That'd be great.
Absolutely. You know, seriously.
Right.
See, this is what you do. You start praying and start closing your eyes and start pulling the trigger all at the same time, simultaneously.
And everyone around you is dead but the guy attacking you, right?
Don't mention that.
That's called spray and pray.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it work?
Only if you got an AK.
Those are illegal, aren't they?
No. You can have an AK-47, just not a fully automatic one. They make them in semi-auto.
Diva, have you gone out gun shopping yet?
No, I've just been doing my research online. I'm not going to actually go out gun shopping.
Diva, wait until you go to the gun shop and find out how much they cost.
I already know that. I went with my friend to buy his gun, and I was like, gun and then bullets. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I just might get somebody to buy it for me.
No, you can't do that. That's illegal. We ain't doing that. No, no.
No, to give me the money. No, 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 not that. I'm just saying to donate the money to my cause. I might start up a
donation
round, you know,
What can't we do?
You and I can't go to a gun shop, and I can't, and me fill out the paperwork and buy a gun, hand it to you. That's illegal.
But let me ask this: can you go to the gun shop, buy a gun, then go to a gun show and then sell me the gun?
Yes.
Without paperwork?
Absolutely. Peer to peer, yeah. But I will say this, and I don't know anybody that would sell a gun to somebody they don't know, and that's just a circle I run in. So don't get me wrong there. But I talked to my local gun dealer buddy. If you have a federal firearms license, there's no way you can sell a gun without paperwork. In fact, my FFL buddy said I wouldn't sell a gun to my mother without paperwork.
Okay.
These guys that are setting up booths at these gun shows and selling without firearms licenses,
yeah,
if they get pinged by the IRS, they're not only in trouble with the IRS, they're in trouble with the ATF. Because it's like selling cars. If you sell more than so many cars a year, you have to be registered as a dealer. And I would say that the ATF is going to start, if they don't get legislation, the ATF is going to start tracking at gun shows. Because guys that do that don't just go to one gun show. They're at a gun show every Saturday.
But now, isn't that the argument about the F? Because, I mean, see, isn't that the argument that everyone's having about the regulations and the gun shows? Because, I mean, you got to understand.
But in a way, it's a straw man argument because the majority of people that do that, they deal in high-end firearms. Your street thug is not going to spend $3,000 on a pistol.
Why won't he? He's got it.
Because he can get it for $200.
He'll get that $3,000 gun for $200 off of someone else.
So now, hold on. Now, if I get a $200, that sounds like a deal to me. I mean, right now, I'm looking for a gun. And if you come up to me and sticks and say, Tracy, listen, I got a Glock gun and I can sell it to you for $50. Okay, I went to the gun shop and it was $600. $50, $600. I ask you, is it hot? No, it's not hot. What's that mean? Okay, $50, that's $550 savings and I got a gun.
How a lot of this stuff works with drug dealers is how they get a lot of their merchandise for cheap or get a lot, because they will use basically one of their little customers who has basically a good credit score, good criminal background. The only problem that person has is they have a drug habit. So I know a lot of drug dealers in Youngstown that like to do business with white suburban men or women who have good credit. They're checking credit scores. They want their credit scores. They want their background information so that they can use them to get stuff illegally but through legal means. And at a cheap rate.
But do you understand where I'm coming from? That's some serious, you know, when you think about it. I mean, people are really scandalous. People are really dirty.
Right.
And they are. When you make things illegal, it's the same thing with guns. There's a gun trade because there's a criminal element involved with the theft of guns. If you were to increase the price on cigarettes and stuff, there's already a criminal element coming in. They're hijacking trucks all over the place with cigarettes on it so they can go ahead and sell it for $2-3 a pack instead of $5-6 a pack. They're still going to make the profit because they didn't pay anything for it. It's the same thing with guns.
Yeah, wait till they put another dollar a pack tax on cigarettes. Watch what happens.
Yeah,
they'll be way more illegal.
It's going to be prohibition all over again, but with cigarettes. It's still going to be legal, but it's going to get more and more criminal activity because you're making it more and more impossible for regular people to get. So,
well, but I don't know anybody but
off who's hijacking cigarette merchandise.
Oh, yeah. It happens.
Cigarettes
are
but I don't know anyone personally who's hijacking cigarette merchandise. Now, they're buying the cheap cigarettes.
No, Diva. Now, hold on. You got to understand, people running cigarettes. They're running cigarettes like they used to run gin.
Yeah, they're doing it out of Canada, too.
Yeah, and they're doing it out of Mexico, too.
I mean, I don't know any terrorists personally either, but somebody just blew up the Boston Marathon. So, yeah, it's out there.
And as far as firearms prohibition, it's illegal to own any firearm, for a civilian to own any firearm in the nation of Mexico, yet they have 50,000 gun murders a year and extremely violent gun murders. I mean, it hasn't been too long ago, they went into some teenage birthday party and whacked everybody with automatic weapons just right across the border from Texas. And you can't even own a toy gun in Mexico.
Huh?
No, if you own a toy gun, it has to be made out of clear plastic with a red muzzle. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just saw an article the other day. They just confiscated and destroyed something like 100,000 toy guns because they look too real.
Well, here in America, they're confiscating Pop-Tarts because they were bitten into the shape of a gun. Did you see that story?
Yeah,
I've seen that. I mean, it's
yeah.
And
yeah,
pizza too. Yeah, we're doing pizza too.
Oh, pizza too.
Yeah, there was a first grader that had a piece of pizza and did the same thing, and I think they suspended or expelled that kid.
Oh, can you imagine telling your kids that story?
You know what? I told my mom, and I told my mom this last night. You guys realize we had something called a war on terror. And do we realize that in some ways these people have won because America is having a war on fear?
Yeah, and you know why? Because we didn't take the Israeli example.
Which was?
That's true.
Which was, we should have took the Israeli example.
Which was?
Be preemptive instead of reactive.
Right. And everybody in Israel is prepared.
Because, I mean, seriously, America is more in fear now than ever before. People allow the federal government to come into their houses and treat them as though they actually done something wrong because of fear.
Right.
Without a warrant.
Instead of looking into our government saying, we need you to assist us in protecting ourselves, we said to our government, we're going to hide under the couch. We want you to take care of us. Israel said, we need our government to assist us in protecting ourselves. It's my understanding that if you go to any Israeli city, everybody's carrying a sidearm.
I don't think we understand that.
And I've heard several people that have been over there said they never felt so safe any place in their entire lives.
Isn't that amazing?
Hold on, but yet Israel has had more terror attacks in the past than America has.
But if you look, Diva, what they have started attacking has changed. It was very common at one time to have a terrorist attack at a school. Then they armed all the teachers. And now there are no more terrorist attacks at schools.
Or you could be sitting in a cafe in a public square or something, and then a suicide bomber comes in and...
Well, you can't make a fair comparison between America and that because Israel is an island in a sea of enemies. It's all around them. So really, you have to look at percentages when it comes to Israel. For them to have, if they can break it down to suicide bombing a month, they're way winning. They're way ahead of the U.S. just because of the sheer amount of enemies they have around them.
Well, not only that, they're not going to let their political correctness kill them. We've still got media that will not admit that these people are Muslim terrorists.
Yeah, well, listen to the president. After they caught suspect number two, did you hear his speech? Anybody?
Yeah, but I probably ignored it. I usually
because if you make it about them being just Muslim terrorists, then you basically, then do we make out the Lanza or Lautner as Christian terrorists? because they were Christians.
Either,
I mean,
yeah, no, they
their
weren't.
Motives have been different, but was their motive truly driven behind Islam, or was it just radical Islam? Because you can't paint a lot of Muslims with the same brush.
I know plenty of Muslims.
My father grew up that way. My father has an Islamic name. All of his siblings basically have Islamic names. So to sit here and to demagogue every single Muslim and make it about that religion when it was just two crazy idiots who basically had some crazy ideology about that religion and did a horrible thing.
Well, for one thing, I don't believe that either Loughner or Lanza were practicing Christians. I don't think they attended church on a regular basis. I'd have to research that, but I don't believe that's a fact. These gentlemen attended mosque on a regular basis. They were very active in their mosque, and their mosque is known to be a mosque that preaches radical tenets of Islam. I mean, the Westboro Baptist Church, they're Christian crazies. I'll go along with anybody.
And everybody naming themselves a Christian ain't a car.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah.
You've got Christians in name only.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I mean,
still.
It's
Westboro Baptist Church. Do we really... The media really does nothing. No one really does anything to shut that church down. But let that have been an Islamic mosque doing the things that they were doing. All hell would have broke loose. Everybody used everything under their power to shut that down.
Guys, hold up. I got to pick up some calls. 360, your mic is on. Hold on, Alex.
I got to add the one thing to this. The Quran, and I'm going to put it in the chat room tomorrow. I don't have it available at me because I'm driving. But there's about 20 scriptures about Islam and what they should do to the infidel. Anybody that says that it is not, it's just a religion of peace and the Quran says peace is incorrect in what they're saying. They need to read and find those scriptures in the Quran that tell you that you are to kill the infidel and make them change their mind and bow to Allah. And if they don't, they are fit to be lied to, burnt, killed, whatever, because they are infidels. That is the truth. Sorry to tell you, the Christians, Lautner and them, were not Christians just because they're born into a Christian family. The Bible says you must be born again. It is not. They are not Christians. And no, you cannot call them Christian terrorists because they are not. The closest
they're not Christians.
What you should say, that's right. They're not Christians at all. They're not exhibiting any of the teachings of Jesus Christ. So therefore, the people in Islam are exhibiting the teaching of Muhammad. And that's the difference, a huge, huge, huge difference. You have to do background study. You can't just get a knee-jerk flip thought and go running with it. It is not what you're saying it is. That's all I wanted to say. I had to add that to you today.
Go ahead, Alex.
Good afternoon, Tracy. I think,
you're
as
running
you know
late.
Already, yeah, I know. I find this conversation troubling, and I have to side with Diva. This might be the first time on your show I've decided, but on the air. But,
oh, Lord, something's going on. I got not two, but three people. Oh, Lord.
essentially, here's the problem. You see, right now, I could point out places in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, where, you know, Christians have interpreted that they're supposed to kill people who are gay or different things
no,
like that.
You cannot.
Can I finish?
Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead, finish.
Mr. Jeff, while I'm speaking, pull out your Bible to Romans 1:26 through Romans 1 verses 26 through 32, and it's very clear that he says those people, men and women who do things and some other stuff, they deserve death. So it's there.
That's not what it says. Hold on, Jeff. That's not what it says. But go ahead, Alan.
Oh my goodness.
It's not what it says. I'll pull it up in just a second, but that's not what it says.
Verse 32 says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So it's very clear that these people deserve death.
But this
that's
is not
what
the
it says.
But let me hold on, Alex. Okay, let me, because this is a terrible time to bring this up right now. You have to understand, in the Bible, it says that thou shalt surely, it says that thou shalt surely die. You have to understand, when you look at death in the Bible, it's not a physical or a murderous death. It is a spiritual death, because the book is spiritual, it is not natural.
Okay.
That's not true either.
Go ahead, here's the thing.
It's a physical death, and he's telling you, if you continue to practice these things, you're going to die. That's what he's saying. He didn't say that Christians ought to kill you. He's not saying that you should be hung, because the Old Testament is no longer in effect. It is the New Testament under grace. God will deal with you spiritually, and you will die.
Can I finish my point? I get what you're saying, but here's my point. I'm not arguing either way about that particular verse. But my issue is that now, if somebody like me points out, well, your Bible says this, but you will immediately say, well, you don't really understand. But you think you have the cognizance to then point to the Muslim book and tell them how to interpret theirs. And that's the problem that I have with this whole argument that's put up. Because there's plenty of moderate Muslims that do not go by Sharia law and all these terrorists. They do not support terrorism at all. But you want to paint all Muslims.
That's true. What you just said is true.
And it's the same way with Christians.
No, it's not.
All Christians aren't the same, right?
That's not true.
The Bible does not teach in the New Testament to kill anybody.
It doesn't teach it, but he's talking about the interpretation of it, how it can be interpreted.
But no. I'm going to send these to you specifically, Alex. I'm going to send them to you, and then you tell me what the interpretation is when they tell you that the infidel chase him until the rock tells you. There's a Jew or there's an infidel hiding behind me. Kill, please come kill it.
This is their teaching, is what I'm telling you. That is not the teaching of the Bible. But listen, this is the issue. Hold on, Jeff. Hey, hold on, Diva. This is one thing you have to understand about Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. And there are many people who call themselves Christians and are not. The experience of Christianity is not a born into. It is a lifestyle of alignment with the Word of God, and people have polluted the name Christian. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christian and they are not, because they do not exhibit the teachings of Jesus Christ. That is the problem when you compare a Muslim to a Christian. It's totally different.
Are Seventh-day Adventist Christians?
Someone calls himself a brother, are we to argue with them about that?
Yes, because I can call myself a car. If you don't have the teachings of Jesus Christ, then you are not one of his. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. The problem is there are a lot of people who are going with God or going with Jesus or going with something, but they're not going with the Word of God, in which is of none effect. And we need to understand that. Everybody that calls himself a Christian is not. There's a lot of Christians in America, but they are not Christian. God does not know them, never knew them. They've never walked along the word of God in existence at all. They haven't even received him as the Son of God. They just claim to be a Christian.
I completely agree with what you're saying. And as to Jeff's point about the Quran, I can't argue the Quran because I have never read that book. But if I was to read that book, I wouldn't be reading it in the spiritual context of that religion. I would be reading it from basically my human flesh. Just like you cannot read the Christian Bible with your human flesh, you have to have the impartation of the Holy Spirit to gain true interpretation.
Because anyone without the Holy Spirit who tries
to read the Bible will take what Alex said very literal. And we know throughout history there have been some people who have done that, who have tried to kill and maim people in the name of
And they do it in the name of the word, but they have not done it in the spirit of Christ because that's not what Christ told you. 727, your mic is on.
Listen, this whole conversation is the reason why it's important to learn how to read the scriptures. By the way, Diva, you're welcome. The scriptures were written to be understood. And the scripture that the gentleman read in Romans, what he neglected to do was to read the first part, which gave the context for what he read. And it talked about the truth of God being revealed against all ungodliness, not just homosexuality and lesbianism and so on. It says the truth has been revealed, and yet that truth, it says, was suppressed. And as a result of suppressing the truth, that is, the truth being revealed and people saying, you know what, I'm not buying that, then verses 32 and on talks about the wrath of God because the people rejected the truth of God. So the whole conversation is a conversation that is has gotten chaotic because people don't understand how to read the scriptures. And the scriptures are written to be understood.
You are not going to get proper connotation, proper instruction, proper without that of the Holy Spirit.
But no, listen to what he said.
Even if you read the scriptures as literature, and this is where everybody is kind of off. If I read the Psalms, Psalms is poetry. If I read Genesis, Genesis is a narrative. I read narratives much differently than I read poetry. If I go to Isaiah or prophetic books, then I read them a whole lot differently than I would read a poetic book. So if we learn how to read the scripture, there are many different types of genres in scripture, and that's why everybody gets all screwed up. Some things are literal. When you're reading a narrative,
go ahead, Pastor.
I'm saying is that in Romans chapter 1, if you read Romans chapter 1, it talks about basically the wrath of God being revealed against all ungodliness, not just homosexuality.
Right.
What about a woman sleeping with a man that is not married? That's in that same category. But when the truth of God is revealed and people don't respond to that truth, then they experience the wrath of God.
Can I comment real quick?
Hold on, Diva. No. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. I really didn't want to get into all that. And the fact that the brothers
going
in,
Alex, totally missing the point.
You have to go in.
You said you didn't want to go into all that, but you got to go into all that when you brought it into the conversation because you got to start at the top of the book to get to the bottom of the book.
Tracy, my point is that the same way that I can, that anybody can just pull out a verse and read it and say, wow, Christians must believe this. is the same way that or at least Jeff is going into the Muslim book, and they're going to have the same objections to the same way that the same objections that you have about the interpretation of that verse and that chapter is the same objection that Muslims are going to have. And that was my only point. And the fact that you're going into all this only emphasizes my point.
You can't. No, it doesn't. You can't deny context. But listen to what he's saying. What he's saying is, if he goes to those, now you would be right if Jeff was just pulling verses out of the Quran. Now, if you read those verses in the context of what's written, and they have to have a certain meaning. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
They have to. If he takes them out of context, then you are correct. But if
that what you think is right and what everybody else thinks is wrong. And the fact of the matter is, other people will say that you're supposed to read that, but God, because there's Christians that will say, yeah, God's word is unchanging, so the Old Testament does apply. But Jeff just said that no, it doesn't apply, because there's certain Christians that will say, no, you follow the Old Testament.
No, Alex.
And now you're
going to
say those aren't real Christians, right?
No, you're being incorrect about it, and yes, you have too much of a mismatch to say this. First of all, I studied the Quran directly. East Newark, New Jersey, 1975-76, when I was living up in Newark, New Jersey. Okay,
well, I hate to say this to you guys. You guys, stop, because I got to go.
Yeah,
I got to go.
Forget it.
Sorry.
I will send you all those scriptures that I'm talking about. Then you tell me that I'm correct.
I got to go. You guys have been listening to Tracy and Frank here on WSLM AM 600. God bless you guys. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you back here on tomorrow.
One of the hardest things to say is, I love you. If you find it difficult to express your feelings, spend an evening with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The 5 Love Languages, on Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Millions of couples have learned this simple way to express their feelings and bring joy back into their marriage. Dr. Chapman has helped couples all over the world gain fresh new insights into their relationships. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 7:30 p.m. at Stambaugh Auditorium. Tickets are $20, $35, and $45. Order yours online at YoungstownSymphony.com or call 330-744-0264. Brought to you by Achievers USA, offering exclusive leadership training and seminars in Northeast Ohio. That's Dr. Gary Chapman, Thursday, April 25th at Powers Auditorium. Call 330-744-0264 or online at YoungstownSymphony.com.
Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. With